Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here tonight, and good to be with you. And hopefully you're doing well tonight. We're going to be praying for you, praying for everybody here in a little bit, or most people. Good to be with you. Hallelujah. All right. Good to be here tonight. All right. Welcome to the place where we do it. We're going to talk about it. That is, we minister to you personally, pray for you personally, believe God with you personally. And so... I don't know, man. Pretty cool to me.
So I kind of like it.
And glad that you're being blessed. God's blessing you somehow or another, some way. He's just blessing you in one way. That's been no way, right? Yeah, I mean, it really is. You know, just, man, sometimes God just blesses. And right, we don't even know why exactly. We just know that he is. And what are we doing right? What's going on? We don't know. What's up? We don't know. God's just good. We know that for sure. And so, wow, awesome, awesome, awesome. So we're going to believe God for your breakthrough. Whatever you need tonight, all right? So let's believe God for that, if nothing else. Just one little breakthrough would be nice. One little breakthrough leads to another little breakthrough. That leads to another little breakthrough. And sometimes we're believing God for that one breakthrough that leads to another breakthrough, right? Yeah. Yes, and yeah, so hallelujah. All right, if you don't know how to give tonight, you want the link to give tonight, we can do that for you, and we can believe God with you for that. Very cool. Okay, I'm trying to keep up with everything here. All right, really good tonight. Okay. Here we go. Okay, let me get this. I'm just getting stuff down. People start giving, and we just love it, and we're just writing everything down. And believing God for whatever he wants to do. Right? Yeah, it really is awesome, and we're so grateful and so thankful for God for everything he's doing. God will give you the glory, will give you the praise for everything you're doing in this place, in this globe of ours, that you are opening up all kinds of places and things for us to, you're changing the whole universe, actually. The whole universe is being changed. Things are changing. The heavens, just things are changing. And they're changing into a new thing. Yeah, drink your water. Amen. So if you need a new thing going on, which we all do, sometimes we have to be in the right time, like in the right timing. God just begins to shift gears. It doesn't have to make any sense to anybody. Nobody has to approve of it. Nobody has to be praying about it because it's not even about prayer. Sometimes things just change because it's the timing. It's time. It's the season, right? Yeah. So I don't think we have to pray, oh, God, it's been summer long enough. Can you make it, you know, spring? Can you make it, I mean, can you make it fall? Can you make it spring? It's spring twice. That would be nice. Spring twice for spring, yeah. Anyway, can you make it fall? And winter, we have to sit there and have prayer meetings, right, for the seasons to change. They just change because it just comes time, the cycle of life. And so it is with things that go on in the globe, things that go on in the world, things that go on with us, things that God, you know, just not even really things that go on with us. I'm going to back up from that. Things that just go on that God is saying, It's a new era. A new thing has begun. And when that happens, it's just like, you know, winter moving into spring, you know, and then summer, and then fall, and then winter and spring. You know, it's like, we don't have to pray for that. Anybody been praying? If you've been praying for that, you need to give me a call or text me. I'm going to let you know you don't have to do that. It's going to come. You can be guaranteed that the seasons are going to come. And so it's also, we're going to take communion tonight, so get ready for the communion thing going on. And we're going to be doing that tonight, of course. We do that every Thursday. And so thank God for that. And get in there and be a part of, be a part of what God's doing with all. Hang on a second, I just got something going on here. Excuse me just a moment. You never know what's going to happen. I get distracted just for a second sometimes. Yeah. All right. So I don't know what I was saying there. It had to be really good, right? Hopefully. Yeah. So we're going to take communion tonight. So make sure and be a part of that. We're going to get the scripture, 1 Corinthians 11. And so we're going to be reading that and tapping into that. Yeah, so get ready for the communion tonight. All right, get your bread and all that, and your bread and your juice or whatever you have, and we will step into that tonight. All right, yeah, and so so seasons come, friend, whether you pray for them or not. When I start hearing people having prayer meetings for seasons, I'm just going to like go, man, they are like hyper. They've gone hyper on us or something. I don't know what I want to say about that. But, you know, we don't have that, so as far as I know. But, you know, if people start doing that, you're going to start wondering, you know, do they think God is not in control anymore? They think they have to control everything or what? Oh, without we prayed last week in fall. Wasn't exactly the timing we thought. It was a couple of days late, but, you know, it did happen. We were praying, believing God for fall to come. Believe in God for spring to come. Believe in God for summer to hit. Now, I mean, they have, you know, the globe, the world has, you know, dates where, oh, first day of summer, you know. Whether it really was summer or not, they have a date for that. But it's all in the season. And it may not happen exactly the same day every time. As far as the weather, as far as everything being, you know, like last year when summer hit, it was, you know, 75 degrees, you know. Wow, it was hot, you know. But, you know, next time it may be 70. And the next time after that, it could be, you know, 71 and a half. You never know. It's not ever going to be the same. But we know the seasons are going to happen. And so is it when you enter into seasons with God's kingdom, with the globe, with the world, with the way things are happening globally, with the way things are happening prophetically. God just decided, you know, it's the timing of the Lord. We don't ever know the timing of the Lord, just like what happened with Trump and Biden and all that. You know, there was no warning of that. You know, if the prophets didn't know, I guess nobody knew, right? Sorry about that. If the prophets didn't know, nobody knew. Yeah, nobody knew. Okay, there you go. So something, you know, and it just was a shift. It was a shift. And God started shifting things. I mean, things that people have been praying about for hundreds of years, I think, about, you know, the kingdom of God come. Oh, God, Jesus, come back. And there's been so many times that people have said that, you know, the rapture is going to happen, the pre-tribulation rapture. You ever wonder why it just keeps not happening? I'm sorry, I just thought about that. It just keeps not happening for them. Bless their heart. They're trying hard, though. They keep having all their buddies saying, oh, I remember the last one, the major last one that they had. I had a friend that was very much part of that. It was in 1988. Remember 1988? Some of you don't even remember. You don't even know. I've kept that. That's why I'm so intent on talking about the pre-tribulation rapture, because I remember all these times. that my friends believed in it, you know, and they knew I didn't. So they're going like, we're going to leave you our money while we go away. I'm going like, okay. And then I couldn't take it, you know. Literally, I had that happen, literally had that happen with a woman who was, who believed in my ministry and didn't really ever come to my meetings, but she believed in our ministry, and she was a pretty wealthy lady, and she believed in the 1988 rapture. I mean, this literally happened, you know, no exaggeration. And she invited me to her house to cut me a check for, you know, however much money I wanted. I mean, she had, you know, I mean, she would have written me a check for $500,000 easy. And, you know, and I knew what was going on. And long story short, God wouldn't let me do it. He just wouldn't let it happen. And, you know, so I thank God that even though I don't know how intently, purposely I was being, you know, honest about all that, I just couldn't do it. You know, God just wouldn't let me. It just wouldn't happen. And she was offering it right there. And, you know, and instead of a $500,000 check, I said, well, just write me one for $5,000, you know. October 28th, okay, so you remember that. I said, who did that? Who sent that to me? Deborah. Yeah, from our friend Deborah that does shows. October 28th, 1988, the day John and I got married. No way. That's when the day they said the rapture was going to come? What are y'all doing getting married on that day? I think that's a little greedy of John. He was just trying to spend eternity with you, you know, and tag you up before you guys got there. Pretty sneaky, John. I think you better watch him, Deborah, from now on, now that I know that. That is a little bit shifty. John, you are a bad boy. She says, yep, laugh out loud. Yeah, that was actually the day, huh? It was October the 28th. You know, I did a documentation on some of that not long ago. I think I talked about some of it on the show. I go through and document things. Sometimes I can't remember dates, and so I didn't remember the date on that. I knew it was 1988, but this lady, I might as well just tell it again since maybe some of you didn't hear it. She, I was doing some things at the time that you know, and so just like now, I never have really been a money raiser. I mean, I have to say, I haven't cleaned up that much. Or I wish I could say I had cleaned up a lot. It would have been really good, but I just never been a money raiser. You know, I just never have. I've never had the personality for it. Never been able to do it. So not being a merchandiser was easy for me, right? It was pretty easy for me not to be a merchandiser. So maybe I didn't sacrifice that much on merchandising. I hate to break y'all's heart right now, but. Yeah. Okay. So there you go. All right. Anyway, it really was the Lord that, you know, that gave me all that. Anyway. Okay. Let's move on. So, 1988, is Deborah just, I can't believe you guys were getting married on that day. Weren't y'all paying attention to what was going on in the world? My gosh, that is almost hilarious. And I just happened to be talking about it tonight. Not on purpose. I don't know how I even got into it. But I was doing some things. And back, just like I am not now, I'm not a good money raiser. And, you know, I was doing some stuff that cost money. And the wedding was planned months ahead. Book came out. Oh, okay. Months ahead. You said month ahead, like in 1 month, but you mean months, M-O-N-T-H-S. Months ahead. Okay, I thought that's what you were trying to say. Thank you. Okay, before the book came out, months before the book came out. So the book came out after you and John decided to get married. Well, what did you think? You're going to be there. So is the rapture going to happen on the day of y'all's wedding? Did you think it would happen? Like, did you even think about that, or did you even know about it? I think I'm asking too many questions. I'm getting too nosy over here. Okay, so let me go ahead and tell the story. And so what happened was, this was in 1988. I don't remember the date on it. It was before the October 28th. I don't remember even when they decided that they were going to be caught up on the 28th, the pre-tribulation rapture. I don't remember the dates of any of this. I could probably go back and find out when she wrote that check. My sister-in-law passed out a case of books. I figured either way, it was a win. That's too good. Are y'all listening to this? You know, Deborah does her shows on Tuesday, her and John. He said the day John and I got married was on that day that they had the. It was a big book. It was a big thing, right, Deborah? I mean, it was huge. People really believed that they were going to be raptured out on that date, October the 28th. I mean, they really believed it, too. Yeah, she says yes. It was crazy. It was really crazy. And I had, like I said, this friend of mine, actually she was the leader of a women's group, a large women's group. And a lot of her people liked the way I preached and taught and stuff, and so they would come to my services. And I would, you know, I called some of them out. I didn't even know who they were. I did not even know that she never even came to one of my meetings, as far as I know, this lady who gave me the money. But her people would come, right? And then when her people would come, and I remember like one time I called this lady out, who I didn't even know who she was, right? You have to understand, just like I didn't. I pointed to her. I said, "Ma'am, stand up." And I said, "I see you, and you're preparing to be a handmaiden. You're the handmaiden of the Lord." And I didn't know it was end time handmaiden. I said, "You're the handmaiden of the Lord." And she started weeping. She said when I got through, she said, "Brother Chandler, my name is so and so, and I never met her, never seen her in my life." She said, "I just started a fast." Because you go on a fast to be a handmaiden. She said, I think she just started the fast, or maybe she was ending the fast. I don't remember. To be an end time handmaiden. She said, "You are exactly right." I went, "Wow, my God." And so, you know, that kind of got people, that was in 84, 85, somewhere in there. And when I first started having meetings there, I rented the building. And I started having meetings there, and nobody knew me. I didn't know anybody. I just started having meetings, and people started showing up. God started moving, and it was pretty fun. And so, anyway, she was an end-time handmaiden, this person. So she goes back, she tells, you know, the lady who runs it, you know, "You got to come hear this guy who just read my mail." And, you know, and so the end-time handmaiden's lady, I don't think she ever showed up. If she did, she came disguised, because I didn't really know anything about him. You know, I did not know anything about them much, you know, at all. Maybe heard of them a little bit, but I didn't really know. And so that's how kind of all got started. So, you know, people come to my meetings all the time. I had church services at a church on Sunday morning. I had church on Wednesday and Thursday. You know, that Wednesday, sometimes on Wednesdays, sometimes I would change to Thursdays, and then on Sunday night. And people from all over came to my services because I would call people out and, you know, pray for them healing or prophesy over them or whatever. And so they would come, and so this lady heard about it, and the who ran the end time handmaidens thing, and so she, you know, invited me to do one of her meetings at this large church in Texas. So I, you know, hey, invitation, I show up, I start preaching. She invites me to her house. She's an older lady. She's like, I'm in my 30s. She's like in her 60s, right? Beautiful, sweet lady, 65, maybe 70. And she was widowed. Her husband had died. I did not know her, and except her name. That's all I knew. Never talked to her in my life. And so anyway, so she says, "Come to my house." I'm going like, okay, she's going to write me a check, you know, for the meeting, you know, for doing the meeting for her. And so they make up offerings. So I show up, and she says, how much money do you need?" And I'm going, "How much money do I need for what? What do you?" I didn't even know what she was asking me about. She said, "You know, for what this project that you're doing is a big project." I said, "Well, I didn't want to tell her it was like $500,000, right? I didn't want to tell her that, you know. And so, because I thought she would just, I didn't know she had money. She didn't look like she had money to me. Even if I knew she had money, you know what I mean? I just kind of didn't know what to say. I just, well, you know, why don't you just give me, you know, because she believed it. She told me, she's, we're going to be caught up out of here. We're going to be raptured out. And she might have even said the date. I don't remember if she said the date or not. We're going to be raptured out of here not long from now. I'm going like, really? Y'all being raptured out, are you? She knew that I didn't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture way back then. I didn't fight about it like I do now. But she knew that I didn't believe in it. And she wholeheartedly believed in it. And she knew that I loved her anyway, and they loved me, and we all were friends. All of us were friends. And without knowing her personally, but her people came to my meetings, right? So we were kind of friendly with, they were friendly with us, even though I didn't know them personally. They showed up our services. So anyway, trying to keep the story straight. So she's going to write me a check for $500,000, y'all. $500,000, right there. Right there. When I told her $5,000, she looked at me like, I know that's not right, Randy. How much do you need? And I said, well, and I knew why she was getting rid of her money. Because she basically told me, I'm getting rid of my money. She didn't say these words. She said, I'm getting rid of my money because I'm not going to need my money anymore. Because I'm going to be gone. And y'all, I knew she wasn't going to be gone. I mean, my belief was I knew she wasn't going to be gone. They weren't going anywhere. You know, but I wasn't going to argue with her. She was a sweet lady, very powerful woman, very strong lady, but very kind and very sweet. And I said, no, you know, I just couldn't. You know, something just wasn't right about it. I'm sorry, you know, just for the service tonight, you know, and a little extra, you know, for whatever, you know, $5,000 will be just fine. You know, because usually they don't ask me. Usually they kept me a check for $1,000 and I preached for, you know, 2 or 3 hours. I pray for a lot of people, prophesy over everybody. And they usually most people take care of you pretty decent. Sometimes I get $100, sometimes I get $1,000. Just depends, you know, and they don't ask me how much do I want, right? I have nothing to do with their offer. I have nothing to do with it. They just cut me a check and I leave. I've never been asked, you know, before, how much do you want? And she was sitting there asking me, how much do you need? She asked me, how much do you need? And I was confused. And she said, well, I'm going to be caught up out of here. I don't need this money. And her husband was a doctor. I think not an anesthesiologist. My other, the people on my board, he was an anesthesiologist, and so I'm getting the doctors mixed up. But I don't know what he did, but he was a doctor, and so they had, you know, quite a bit of money. So anyway, that was another test that I kind of went through a little bit, you know, being a Wheeler dealer, I didn't want to be a Wheeler dealer. I didn't like Wheeler dealers. I didn't want to be a Wheeler dealer. And I wanted to be, you know, just be how I was. If God blessed me, you know, then he blessed me. So some lady blessed me with $50,000, wrote me a check for $50,000. It was the first large offering I ever, you know, the first large money I ever gotten. I was going to the bank shaking, you know, thinking, I hope this is good, you know, because $50,000 back in the 80s was, you know, for me is a lot of money. Right? So, anyway, I don't know how we got up on that. But so you know, things happen. Things change. We're in a season where God didn't ask our permission to change the whole political cycle and have Putin, you know, pull off this big thing he's doing in Ukraine, which, by the way, it looks like it's getting worse in many ways. It's not getting better, as far as we can tell. It seems to be bringing some global issues that we haven't had before. You know, all of a sudden this stuff just starts happening, y'all. And I'm going to tell you something. People are not ready for this for the most part. A lot of pre-tribulation people, you know, they're going like, man, we're going to get raptured out of this. And I'm telling you, just like maybe that's why I got the end of this. My friend in 1988 who was going to give me her money. In Christ, I lie not. She was going to, y'all, yeah, she was going to give me her money. Yeah. She says, how much? She had her check in her hand. She said, how much do you want? How much do you need to do your project? And I just couldn't tell her. I couldn't do it. I couldn't take it. So, you know, I'm thinking God will do it some other way. And, of course, you know, money came here, money came there. And, you know, whatever. So just like now, you know, people think they're going to be leaving, and they're not going to go anywhere. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Not yet. It's not going to happen yet. And there is no pre-tribulation rapture. I know y'all, some of y'all don't like that, and some of you don't mind, some of you don't care, some of you don't really know either yourself. So, but some people have a very strong indoctrination toward that, and I know that. I've known that for years. Like I said, some of my best friends have been pre-tribulation people, and really think that I was like almost like a heretic because I had heresy because I didn't believe it in their stuff. And then my friend who was going to give me her money to fulfill my dream on her, like, oh, you know. She told me, this lady who believed in the pre-tribulation rapture told me, she said, Randy, you know, I don't know. I don't know why you guys want to be here, you know. And she's cutting me a check, right, because she knows I don't believe in that stuff, which is really weird how she would do that. And she knew that I was, had a, you know, I wasn't, I, she knows that I wasn't a wheeler dealer. I wasn't a, you know, a person who was after people's money. She knew that. And that's why, you know, she was sitting here doing this. I'm leaving in the rapture in a few weeks, and I'm not going to be here any longer, and I want you to have my money. And I'm just going like, you know, yeah, and when you don't go anywhere, I'm thinking, you know, and I have your money, you're going to probably wish you hadn't done it. I don't know whether she was a very wonderful lady. She might have been glad she did it, but I don't know. I'm thinking, how can I do this when I know better? I know they're not going to go anywhere. 1988 came, October 28, 1988 came. They didn't go anywhere just like I thought. You know what? You know what? I was so happy and thankful that I didn't take advantage of that. I was so grateful because, you know what? I mean, even though she was the sweetest lady in the world, very strong woman, and once she did something, she'd probably never go back on it, but I guarantee you she would have regretted it. And the humility and the humiliation that she went through, as well as a lot of others who believe that nonsense. You know, I mean, I don't think she ever talked to me again after that. I never really talked to her before that. She just heard about me, and that's all. Her friends, people who were under her ministry came to my ministry, and that's how we were connected. I never talked to her until we sat down at the table or at the meeting when she introduced me and said, you know, I've never talked to her. We sat down at her table, and that's the first time I'd ever talked with her. Right? So, yeah, that's the way it goes. That's the way ministry goes. You don't even know people, and they're trying to do things with you. It's amazing. So, you know, and wow, I mean, just like I'm telling you guys now, they think you're going to get caught up. They're not going to go anywhere. They're not going anywhere. That is not going to happen until after the tribulation, period. And I've always believed that. I believed it in 1988. I believed it in all the times after that. And I believe in it now, and I know that I'm right because I know I've searched it out. I've had friends who condemned me for believing the way I believe for years. That's why right now I understand this theory and this stuff better than most people as far as being on the opposite side of it and having close friends and people who wanted to give me money who believe the opposite, who are willing to give me their money. You know, I know I sound like I'm bragging to myself, but I'm just telling you that these people – They're just going like, you know, we're leaving. We like you because we think you have a heart to do the will of God. So we're going to leave you our money, but we're going. I mean, duh! That's crazy, in my opinion. And yet, the most loving. That's why when I talk about these people, I say these are not demons. These are not devils. These are God-fearing, wonderful people. Why do I say that? Because I'm making up something to look nice? No. Because I've had experience with these people. This lady was a powerful woman of God who believed wrong and was extremely brokenhearted when it didn't happen and humiliated that she believed it so much that she was willing to give some guy she didn't even really know very well in the community whatever money I wanted. So that's why I know these people love God, but they are wrong. Okay. So anyway, these people are going to be prepared for this, friend. That's why we're going to have to be ready to take care of them. We're going to have to be ready to have places to counsel and love and deliver, cast the demons out of them and cast the devils out of them, the fear that they've had all their life. They get saved back in high school in a revival, in a Pentecostal meeting where they're preaching. You don't want to miss the rapture, so you better get saved. Are you going to get your head cut off? That, or are you going to starve to death because there's not going to be any food around? And they would run down to the altar and get saved. Y'all realize how many people got saved because of that message? Or they say they got saved, or think they got saved? Millions of them. Maybe you're not aware of it. The reason I think we're talking about this tonight is because I'm very aware of it. Not totally, not completely, not perfectly, but very aware of what has gone on in these circles and have been in meetings where they have done it and grieved me and broke my heart and made me angry that they were doing that, using that to get people saved instead of just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a bunch of hogwash. People thinking they're getting saved, you know, and then they spend their whole life thinking they're saved because they cried and they wept at more out of fear than they did out of salvation. I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them, millions of them over the years. How many meetings do you think, how many revivals and camps and things do you think that they used that because it worked so well to get these people, quote, saved? Friend, they are, most of them, many, I don't really know how many of them are saved, I can't say, but many of them are not saved, but think that they are. And cannot figure out why they can't break free from the burden of sin. Yeah, it's very sad and grieves my heart. All right, why am I caught up on this tonight? I do not know what is going on over here. I'm not sure. Okay, so I have something I want to talk about tonight. Talk about some of this. I want to talk a little bit about the about why we're talking so plainly right now. I've talked about this a little bit, but I want to talk about this a little bit more if I can tonight. Jesus seemed to have. Now this is just, I'm going to bring it like this because I want you to think about it. Jesus seemed to have a real problem with leadership. He would tell the disciples in Matthew 23 to do what the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, you know, and the Pharisees and Sadducees and the teachers of the law, do what they say, but do not do what they do. Do what they say, but don't do what they do. So what was he trying to tell them? So he was trying to teach them. He was trying to teach them respect for leadership, right? Like David. What did David do, King David, when Saul was trying to kill him? What did he teach people around him when they all said, let's kill him? He's a sorry, no good bum now. He's not a king. He's not a godly person. You know what David said, who had a heart after God? He said, we must respect the anointed one. But he's trying to kill you, they would say. But we must the same thing Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 23, he said, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome burdens and loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see them. The scribes and Pharisees are supposed to know God and help others know him and follow his ways. Instead, the religious leaders added to God's law, making it a cumbersome and a wondrous burden, this word that I have in this book. And they did not follow God with a pure heart. Their religion was not true worship of God. Rather, it was rooted in prideful heart. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount emphasizes the true intent of the law over the letter of the law. The scribes and the Pharisees emphasized the letter, completely missing the spirit of the law. And so, you know, anyway, so Matthew 23 talks about how that Jesus called them names. He called them really bad names. Now, on one hand, he said, do what they say, but don't do what they do. David did the same thing with Saul. David told his people, he said, I will not touch God's anointed. I could kill him. I could take him out. I know he's trying to kill me, but I am not going to do it. That's in 1 Samuel 24. David pulls up behind Saul. Saul had gone to take a leak in the cave, and 1 Samuel 24:12 says, David said, David cut a piece of his garment off and held it up, ran away, ran on the other side of the cliff and held it up and said to Saul, Saul, I got, see this here, see your garment's been cut off. You know who cut it off? I did. I got it right here. I could have killed you. Why are you trying to kill me? He said, let the Lord judge between me and you. Let the Lord avenge me on you. This is what David was saying. He said, I'm not going to kill you. I could have killed you. He said, I'm going to let the Lord judge you. So David was kind of, at the same time, he was teaching respect, just like Jesus did, of the leadership. Just like I try to do that. I'm just going to connect myself to all this, okay? So you understand, I'm not bitter. I'm not angry in the flesh. There's an anger in me that is of God toward a lot of the things, the merchandising. And you're going to hear it. You're going to say something. Randy's just angry. He's in the flesh. And he's whatever. And I'm going to tell you that for the most part, that is not true. I am not. And I'm going to show it to you in scripture. I want you to see this so that you understand what's going on. And so David, even though he said respect Saul, at the same time in First Samuel 24:12, he says, let the Lord. He was standing there holding that piece of his robe in his hand that he cut off. And he said, which showed a little bit of, like, hostility, right? He said, let the Lord judge between me and you, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. You see, he was saying, the Lord's going to get you, Saul, but I'm not going to get you. See that? You see how David was ticked off? David was angry. David was upset, just like Jesus was upset when he called him whited sepulchres full of dead man's bones. And this is what you're hearing me say. You know why? Because there's something going on in the globe. There's a change in the system. In the systems of God, there is a change going on. And when that goes on, just like it did with David and Saul, just like it did with Jesus and the leaders that were on, there was about to be a change. There comes a separation, and the new leadership begins to point the finger at the old leadership. Do you understand why that as a prophet, and what God is telling me to do, that's why this is going on. I'm not just throwing a fit and having a bad day trying to get people on my side so they can, give to me rather than buy their merchandise. That's not the point here. The point is God's doing something. You see it with David. He's upset with Saul, even though he tells his men to respect him. He says, I'm not going to kill you. I could have killed you. I'm going to let the Lord kill you. In other words, I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to let the Lord's going to judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge. David said this, let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancients say, wickedness precedes the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? David said, a dead dog, a flea? I'm a nobody. Therefore, let the Lord judge between me and you and see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hand. Wow. So you see David is extremely ticked off, calling Saul wicked. As the proverb of the ancient says, the wicked proceeds from the wicked. Who do you think he was talking to? Saul's bad people. Now, he was talking to Saul, the king. And yet Jesus said to respect the scribes and Pharisees due to their position of authority, but do not emulate them, for they don't practice what they preach. They want you to practice what you preach, what they preach, but they don't practice it. He says, therefore, do what they say, but do not do what they do. And then he called them snakes and vipers. And it looks like Jesus is bitter, especially when he took the whip and drove them out of the money changers out of the temple. Why was all that going on? Because Jesus was upset? Because David was just, tired of Saul chasing? No, because there was something bigger than that. Just like I'm trying to tell you, when I talk bad about the leadership, it's not that 99% of the prophets, 99% of the teachers and the preachers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not calling them evil. I'm not touching them. I'm not going to touch them. I never touched Marcus Lamb. I did not touch him. I never called him an evil person. I just told you what went on and what God was saying, that God would judge between me and him. And there's some things that went on, the things have gone on between him, you know, that I said, I'm not going to touch you, man. And if you, you know, I'm going to let God avenge me. And I have a lot of other circumstances and situations that I cannot talk about, some for legal reasons. But mainly because I'm going to let God take care of them. And God has been taking care of them. When I get to write, if I ever write a book about that, you're going to see how God's took care of my enemies. Well, I did not lay a hand on them or touch them, and God did it. God took care of it. And I never had to lift a hand to do a thing except bless them and be their friend. And most people never even knew that they were being an enemy because I didn't treat them like an enemy publicly. I treated them like a friend, and nobody even knew. Just like Judas with Jesus. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, but he never exposed him publicly by name until the time came. And that was at the Lord's Supper, which we're going to take here in a little bit. Are you with me tonight? There's a shift going on in the spirit. The reason that you see the resentment, a Holy Ghost resentment, if you will, of David, a Holy Ghost resentment, a hatred for what the Pharisees represented, not hating them, but hating what they did. You see a breaking of the pattern that's about to happen with Jesus. Jesus has come to be the new thing. When the new thing shows up, it always points the finger at the old thing and says, this thing is no longer going to work. Therefore, it's a bunch of snakes, a bunch of vipers, and most of the people that love them, like some of, you know, some people here that listen to us on PGN, not my partners, not my friends on PGN, but people who listen to us, you are emotionally connected to some of these preachers that I talk bad about. Or I talk bad about their system. I talk bad about the fact that they're selling Jesus. You don't like that. Well, I like those. I mean, they've ministered to me, and I've read their books. I know, and I'm not saying that's all wrong. That has nothing to do with it. I'm telling you there's a shift in the system, and when that happens, just like David sat right there and said, respect Saul because he's the king, and a few minutes later he's cutting off part of his garment saying, you know, I'm going to let God deal between me and you. In other words, David was saying, I'm not going to touch you. That's what Jesus did. Jesus said, I'm not going to touch you. I could call some angels down and have you guys would all be dead in about 3 seconds. I had some friends that you know not of, Jesus was thinking. You know, I got friends you don't even know anything about. I got Michael, the archangel. I mean, he's my buddy. And he could take all you out in about 3 seconds. Wouldn't even be a problem. But we're not going to do it like that. I'm not going to ask that of the Father to do that for me. I'm trusting God. But there's going to be a system change. And every time there's a system change, you start seeing, like what we've been doing here on PGN, you start watching, you know, me as a servant of God starting to say, these people are, I'm not calling these people demons, but they have some demon. They have some demon intervention through the pre-tribulation fear-mongering that they do, demonically inspired. They have merchandising that they're doing, which is demonically inspired. But the people themselves, we're not cursing them or saying that they're evil, bad people. They just have some things they're doing. Just like when Jesus went into the temple and he didn't disrespect the leadership that was selling, that were selling in the temple. He turned over the tables and he said, this system is not of God. And they were so wrapped up in their system, friend, that they felt like Jesus was calling them evil because they were so tied and so knit to their system. That they were accusing Jesus of trying to tear down their godly system, which had gotten so far away from God, and they didn't know it, and nobody else knew it except Jesus. He saw through pure eyes. He knew the way things were supposed to be. He came on the scene, and he was what some people considered bitter against these religious people. He's just trying to stir up strife. He's just trying to create confusion. He's just trying to create division. That's all he's doing. That's what I've been accused of. He just don't listen to him. He's trying to stir up division. He's just trying to start something new, and he's criticizing us. Has nothing to do with it at all. Has everything to do with what God is doing. And the reason that you hear in my voice the same thing I believe you heard in the voice of David when he told Saul, the king, who he just told everybody to respect and honor him because he was anointed one of God, he turns right around and comes against him, you know, in a very holy way, in a very same sense, God's going to judge between me and you. There's a saying that says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. He was saying that before all the people. He said, don't touch Saul. I know he's wicked. I know he's got some problems, but he's the anointed of God. That's the same thing I'm saying. I'm saying these people are anointed of God, but they have walked into wickedness, and God is going to judge the situation. I don't have to. He's already been judging it, friend, and some of it stuff I can't even talk about. I would love to just brag on what God is doing. But I have to be like David and like, gee, you know, before it's time, let's just let God do it. Let's let God manifest it. I'm praying mercy for those who have been my enemies. Even at this right now, this very moment, I'm praying mercy and grace and forgiveness for people who have done things, stirred up with the devil and didn't even know why they were doing it. They didn't know why they were doing it. That's why I don't blame them. That's why I'm not resentful and bitter against them. The system of the religious system, that's what's got them turned against me. They turned against me not because they're bad people. They turned against me because the system that I've been preaching against has turned against me. And it's supposed to. That's what makes it so funny. It's all happening exactly the way God wants it. And they're all trying to hide it. They're not going to let anybody know. Are you kidding me? You think they're stupid? They're going to try to make me look like a fool. Yeah, he's just talking. He's just whacking away. He's just trying to make us look like we're, yeah. It's fixing to come out, y'all. It's fixing to come out, and it's not going to be anything I did. It's already been coming out. Marcus Lamb was part of it. The Trump and Biden election, you know, was part of the beginning of this new phase that we're in. And I don't have to sit there and talk bad about people every day. You know, just I say what the Lord tells me to say, and that's it. And if it sounds like I'm running through the temple with a whip in my hand, that's because I am. You got that right. There is a whip in my hand, and it's a whip of the Holy Ghost, and it's not to hurt people. It is to tear down that system, and that system is evil. That system is wicked, and God will judge between me and them and me and it. I already know that. It's already happening. I don't have an ounce of fear about it at all. It's not like I feel sorry for them. I actually feel sorry for them. They're going to be exposed and look really bad. Oh, there's so much I want to talk about, y'all. Oh my God, I could go on. I could talk. I want to talk about David, when David, King David, you know, or before he became king, when Saul was still chasing him, how he went in and ate the bread of the holy bread. Remember that? How he went in and ate the holy bread. Remember that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Saul was chasing him, and he goes in to show you how God was changing. God was making provision for the new generation of leadership, which was David. The guys that he had with him. You know, the guys that he had with him. This is talking like you guys or us guys. You guys. They were all discontent, extremely discontent with the system, just like you guys are, just like I am. We're all discontent together. He said that the 400 men that David had with him were discontent with the system, just like you are, just like I am, and we're going to do this thing together. And those guys, like you and I, they went to the priest of that day, which was some of the priests were really godly priests, and David went in and he talked to the priest, and the priest says, yeah, I have some. The only bread that I have is the holy bread, which no one's supposed to eat but the priest. And guess what? David, you know, the priest gave him and his men the holy bread, which was a type and shadow and a picture of the transition of the bread going to the priesthood being changed. Just like it did with Peter, James, and John, the disciples, the priesthood of the elite group of the Levites, back under the laws of Moses, and how it all began to shift. You kind of see a shift right here, David and his guys. They go in there and they eat. And Matthew 12:3 says, but he said to them, have you not heard what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, the disgruntled people, no, Peter, James, and John, the disgruntled ones, David's men, the 400 who were disgruntled not disgruntled in general, but disgruntled, because that's what happens when you start getting tired of the old system. You become disgruntled with it. You sound like you're whining. You sound like you're complaining against it. You sound like you're disgruntled against it because you are. And guess what? It's a God thing, friend. Disgruntlement against that stuff is a God thing. David's men were discontent and resentful of the leadership, but God was changing things. He entered David and his guys, his discontented new group of leadership that's about to come up on the scene after God kills Saul, after God takes Saul out, the new leadership getting ready. And Jesus is talking about this in Matthew 12, verse 3 and 4. He says how that David entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which is not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest. But Jesus was saying there's a new wave coming through which David, that there's a switching of the hands. There's a changing. I don't like to say changing of the guard, but that's so what everybody else said it. You know, there's a changing of the system. When Isaac laid hands on and passed a blessing to Jacob because they wheeled and dealed because God spoke to Jacob's mother and told her, you know, we can't let this blessing be passed down to the wrong person because the Father already told me, God Almighty already told me in a visitation that you, Jacob, were going to be the one who was supposed to be blessed, not the older brother. You. And it was a switching of the hands. That's what was going on here with David. David's 400 men. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him to meet with him. And everyone who was in distress, this is talking about the group of people, because when you start changing systems, and God starts getting ready, God gets ready to change systems. God gets ready to change systems. When he does that, he has a new people that are arising. What do those people sound like? What do they feel like? Here's what they feel like. David departed to the cave of Adullam. So when the brothers and all of his father's house heard it, they went down to find him because they were and everyone who, verse 2, everyone that was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to David. So he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. Same thing happened with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a switching of the system, man. He started dressing different. He started acting different. He started talking different. He was supposed to be dressing in these beautiful priestly garments of, you know, linen. And he's out there, you know, he's got, you know, a bitter taste in his mouth toward this stuff. He doesn't even want to get anywhere near the temple. He was a Levite, part of the priesthood, the law of Moses in the temple. His father, they were, you know, he's supposed to have it pretty well made. His priestly garment was the fact that he dressed up in camel's hair and ate really odd things that priests just don't eat. Friend, this is what's going on now. People are so sick of it, they don't even eat like the priests eat. They don't even do the same thing that they're like saying, we're discontent with this stuff. We hate this stuff. And it's not just a resentment spirit. It's not just something wrong with the people. It is something God is doing in the people for the shifting of the new leadership God is bringing in to the globe. David was chosen instead of Jonathan, Saul's son, like Jacob, instead of Esau. Jacob instead of Esau. Esau was supposed to be the one. Jonathan was supposed to, Saul's son was supposed to be the one taking that. When Saul died, Jonathan was the one it belonged to. Who did get? Who got it? David did. Same thing with Jacob. Who did it belong to? Esau. The reason you need to understand this, so you won't be saying, "Well, look, Randy, he's just kind of like, he's kind of discontent. He's kind of resentful. He's kind of, creating division." No, it's God who's resentful, if you will, in a holy way. It's God who is discontent with what's going on. Why? Because there's a change. It's not a bitter spirit. That's not a human thing. It's not resentment and, rebellion. That's what they want to say. That's what they're going to call it. Because it doesn't lift them and glorify them anymore. It's not about them anymore. It's exposing them for what they really are, what they've really done, and without even realizing it. If I be a man of God, and then calls them witchcraft because they walked away from him when he set himself up. Jeremiah Johnson, who's a lovely person, by the way, set himself up by saying, if I be a man of God, Donald Trump's going to have the next 4 years. Well, he didn't. You know, it didn't happen. And he set himself up by telling the people, if I be a man of God, well, I guess you're not a man of God since you said it yourself. He set himself up, and then he turned around and accused them of witchcraft through some other prophet, which I wish they would name. I'd like to know who that was. Okay. Yeah. We may be off out in the wilderness with a few, but get ready, friend. Saul's about to die. Saul is about to die. And Jonathan is not going to get the leadership. It's not going to be Jeremiah Johnson. You know, as much as sweet as a spirit he had, like Jonathan had. Long as they're putting that leader, and right now you hear them all talking, oh, yeah, we anoint and we appoint people like Jeremiah Johnson to be the next, you know, he's the next guy coming up. You can see it all over the place. Well, that's great in their old system, but it's going to be the old system. They're all going to die. Maybe not physically. It's all going to fall apart. It's all going to become worthless. Most people are going to go, you know, it's going to be a whole new generation to go, man, you know, God moved on. I'm moving on too. Bye, David, Jeremiah, Johnson. But some of you are so emotionally attached to them, you may be in bondage to it. I don't know whether you are or not. I guess we'll find out. Come out from among them. Be ye holy. Your emotional connections and your trauma with all that, I'm going to be praying for, because I know it's a difficult thing to do. This is a difficult time. Not easy. I'm not mocking you or saying, you know, you don't have a right to feel like you feel. But we're going to have to get over it and move on with God. Okay? All right. So good to be with you tonight. Hey. I could go on and on. I could go on. I mean, I got stuff I could go on for hours. Honest to God, for hours and hours and hours with one revelation after the other, connecting all this information and what's really going on, what's happening. Thank you for listening. I thank you for being a part. I know we don't have, you know, the whole globe. We don't have a whole, you know, we don't have a whole lot of anything, but we got a whole lot of obedience. And that means you guys. And me, we're being obedient to God. We're the new thing. If some are going to break loose, some are going to walk away from it. I know, they're already doing it. You know, it's okay. Go ahead. I understand completely. They're affectionately connected to the old thing. They want what's important. Some people want what's important, not what God's doing. They want what's important with men. We don't see it happening with you. So we're going to go. It's okay. It's truly okay. It's all going to be good. All going to be good. Every bit of it's going to be good. All right. So let's get ready to take communion. I'm just going to speak very plainly. I'm not going to be ugly. I'm trying not to be ugly at all. Though I'm explaining to you the resentment Jesus had against the old system, why he got angry, and drove at the money changers, and why David got angry and confronted Saul about God will be with you, you wicked man. That's really what he was saying. But I'm not going to touch you. He wasn't saying he wasn't going to call him names. He just said, I'm not going to touch you. You know, Jesus said, I'm not going to touch you either, but I'm going to call you some names. He called him names. He called him names, all right. Your fathers of the devil, all that, you know, that cute little stuff. Things that people tell me not to say. Don't be talking like that, Brother Chandler. It doesn't look very appropriate. I know, until you look at what happened with Jesus when the shifting happened, what happened with David, what happened with John the Baptist, and I could go on and on and on with a bunch more, but I'm just using the things that you're most familiar with. So you can kind of like walk along with me and at least look at it and see and consider it for yourself if God's truly doing something with it. And if he's not, then hallelujah. It's okay. God is our source, and God is doing an amazing thing. And he's going to continue to do it because it's him. All right? All right. So let's get your communion, if you would. And let's get ready to do that. All right. Thank you for giving. If you need that link for giving, I would be very happy to get it to you. Very, very happy to get it to you. So let me know if you need that. We love it when people give. We just really like it a lot. It's so much fun. All right. Thanks for being with us tonight. We're going to be praying for you. Thanks for praying for PGN. We still got land stuff going on, property stuff happening. So thank you for praying about that. God is good. Jesus is doing a wonderful thing. All right. So God bless. If you need that link to give and you don't have it, I would love to send it to you. I would love for you to be able to give easily and freely and give unto the Lord, whatever way God's having you do it. Amen. I would love for you to do that. And we can pray for you all week long. We will pray for you on Thursdays as we take communion. All right. All right. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Make sure if you have any prayer requests that you leave your prayer requests on there if you can. If you can't, you can text it to me. You can text me at 214-505-8719. 214-505-8719. If you want to me to send you the link to give tonight, if you'd like to do that, I would love to get it through. Maybe give next week. We can have it with you, whatever you want to do. We'd love to get that to you. All right. Okay. Cool. Checking things out here. Okay, here we go. I'm getting everything together here. Thank you for being with us tonight. And hopefully you understand kind of what God's doing, get an idea of what's happening. All right, let's get our communion ready tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we lift up was read tonight, Father, 1 Corinthians 11. Thank you for that, Jesus. And all right, let's lift up the bread tonight, if you would. Precious body of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. And Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, for I received from the Lord, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take and eat, friend. Hallelujah. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's drink, friend. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your precious body. Hallelujah. Lord, we eat bitter herbs. When they took communion, they ate bitter herbs. Lord, we thank you that you want us to remember the bitter bondage that we had. We thank you for, as we come out of this system of the prior, even the spirit-filled, charismatic system, God, that you're starting a new thing. The old is literally dying and passing away, some of them, and will continue to die and pass away. Some of them prematurely, sad to say. And you will raise up a new generation, Father, but we must remit it. When we will start walking through the bitterness of that way, Israel began to pray because they were bitter. You know, they were tired of it. God, you were tired of it, and you heard their bitter cry. And when Jesus came on the scene, he was resentful against the system because the system was robbing the people. Therefore, he was resentful of that system. It wasn't an ungodly resentment. It was a discontentment with the whole thing. He was tired of you. It was like a bitter herb. And he was expressing the bitter herbness of it, you know, when he talked to the leadership and told them they were demons. They were, father was of the devil. They were white as sepulchres full of them. They were snakes and vipers. I mean, come on. That's like pretty, if you will, resentful of the system because of what it did to the people. There's different ways to be resentful and discontent. If you're discontent in the wrong way, if you're resentful in the wrong way, at least just the raw bitterness of the spirit. But when you're sick and tired of your sin or the sin of the people in the community that you're a part of, and you're tired of the whole thing, you come and you start crying, God, we're tired of this. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's wrong. I know these people love you, but there's something wrong. There's something compromised. What is it? We feel resentful. We feel discontent with this. Change it, and then God starts bringing people in to start talking discontent, so you can identify with that discontent. Yeah, I'm discontent too. And David gathered those men together that were discontent with the system. Jesus did the same thing. Many people listen to Jesus because he revealed his discontentment with the system. It wasn't a pretty thing. He was talking negative about them. He wasn't a positive thinker who didn't want to talk negative about it. He talked negative about the things when he needed to expose to the people. Yes, I hear you. I hear your cry, and I'm coming to deliver you. And that's the same thing we have going on now. And you hear it through the prophet. You can hear it through the prophet's voice. And it is true. There is no denial of that. What you're hearing is right, but it's for the right reason. It's for the right purpose. It's for the right. It's for what God is revealing himself. Like when he used the prophets in the Old Testament, they would do some crazy things. They would go out there and roll around and cow dung and different things, you know, to smell like cow dung and walk around stinking like cow poop. And so why would they do that? Because they were revealing that God was sick, and the smell was making him sick. He was tired of it. And that's what I'm doing. I'm rolling around in poop, and I'm speaking it out, saying, God's sick of this, and that's what you're sick of. You don't know what you're sick of, but that's what it is. Not that you're resentful and carnal and fleshly. No, it's the resentment of God, the discontentment of the Holy Spirit. And it's okay. Quit letting the devil accuse you, because he will accuse you. He's trying to accuse me. That's why I take communion. I take communion for my protection. I take communion for condemnation's sake, too. Because, boy, condemnation does try to hit. And those religious spirits, they do not like me at all. Well, they try to hide it, believe me. And they cannot hide it, because I see it, I know it, and we will expose it eventually, and God will expose it. I don't have to put my hand on people. I don't have to touch people. I don't have to touch God's anointed. It's like Saul and David. David said, I don't have to touch God's anointed. I'm not going to touch God's anointed. You know, he's wicked, but I'm not going to touch him. And that, you ever thought about that? That's exactly what David said. Same thing going on right now with me, with us. This is it, y'all. We're pioneering something. God's pioneering something amazing. All right. Let's take, let's start praying over our offerings tonight. Thank you for being with us. And thank you for being a part of PGN. We thank you. If you want to, like I said, if you want to give tonight, you can send a request for the link at 214-505-8719, and I will get that link to you. Just ask for it, and I will get it to you. Can't believe Deborah and John got married on pre-tribulation rapture day, 1988. That is hilarious. John was pretty sneaky, man. That's pretty good, actually. Wow. Pretty good. All right, so if you need that link, let me know. I'll be glad to send it to you. If you want to give tonight, we can set that up for you. And help you with that. All right, so let's start praying over offerings. And if you do that during the offering time, we'll stop everything, and we will send you the link, and you can do it tonight if you want. All right, Andrea, $5. Lord, I thank you for Andrea tonight. God, I thank you for this, the thing that she's been feeling, the things that she's connected even to us about, is because she is discontent with all the stuff that's going on. We have a lot of good people, but there's a lot of things that God is saying come out from among them. Be ye holy, be ye separate. Being separate from what? Can I be separate? You know, they're telling me I can't, if I don't go to church, I'm not of God. What do you mean, Randy? How do I be separate? How do I come out from among them? What do you mean by that? I don't know. It's what God speaks to you when you come out from among them. I have nothing to do with it. And Andrea's not saying anything. I'm just saying this stuff. Right, this is all prophetic. I'm not even, you know, I'm not answering. She's not talking. She's not commenting, nothing. And that discontentment you feel is that you have a heart for the new thing. And when old things pass away, we get whiny about it. That's why we need the whiny of the Holy Ghost, right? Because we get whiny. We need to get the whiny, get the whiny of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our spirit, so that we can help the whiny. Yeah, we can laugh it off with Jesus, for sure. Amen. Amen. Because the spirit of condemnation tries to come with all this stuff. When anytime God gets ready to break forth a new generation, people go through this loyalty thing, you know, and it's very normal. I'm loyal to the old system. I want to be faithful. I want to be loyal. Most of you people are really, really faithful people. And you become loyal to the system thing. And you just like going, man, you feel like you're betraying, you know. and you're not. You're not betraying anything. It has to do with what God is doing and what's going on in the system that we are coming out of. Amen. We're going to be separate and holy from that. Hallelujah. And God is calling us out. And it's like being, you know, part of a business for many, many years, or part of a company for many years. put your whole blood, sweat, and tears in that thing. And all of a sudden God's saying, come out from among them now. You're going like, well, I've been here. I got a lot of emotional ties. I know. Come out from among them. Lord, I pray for your people tonight. You know, I should have done that during communion, that we break ties with our emotional ties. And I have them as well as you do, God. I have emotional ties to people that are in that system. Like I told you, I was raised on Kenneth Copeland and a lot of those guys. Oral Roberts, you know, I don't think Oral Roberts was much of a merchandiser at heart. He did sell some things, and I'm against all of it, but I think as General Ho, I think it all kind of started with them. But their hearts were more pure because that Satan was just tempting them and setting them up to start the system, and they didn't even know it. But still, they'll be held accountable. Right? But, you know, we have emotional ties to those people. I do. So when I talk bad about some of those people, when I start talking bad, quote, bad about Copeland, you know, you understand, I've followed that man for years and loved him and still love him. So God's going to break us free from it. It's difficult. There's emotional ties to all of it. And those emotional ties are sometimes the hardest ones to break. They're very difficult. It's not easy. But a lot of people can't, they try to leave their church, they end up going back, you know, because the emotional ties, it's a difficult thing. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. It's just going to be godly. All right, John and Melissa, thank you, John and Melissa. Pray for Melissa, broken foot, ankle. She broke both of them. Broke both of them? How did she break both of them, man? My gosh, that's horrific. New season of social expansion. Yeah. I'm kind of agreeing with that. In the name of Jesus, let that be done. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that new season of social expansion. What a great way to word that. I love that. In Jesus' name, let it be done, Father, right now. It broke both her feet, her ankle. My gosh. Wow. Heal, Lord. Protect. Watch over Jesus. Bless them, God. Draw them into that new place, Father. Let them see that we're coming out of the old, and coming out of the old, there's a stirring of all kinds of things that go on. All kinds of things get stirred up. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Okay, hang on a second. I just realized something. Bianca gave $8, and then she gave $55. So that makes it almost $60, $63. I'm going to have to move you, Bianca. You're going to have to wait. Sorry. All right, Janice, $10. Thank you, Janice, for the $10. Thank you, Lord, for expanding her. God, we thank you for your people, God, when we come out with you, when we are drawn out by the Holy Spirit with you and from you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For Janice, Father, I thank you, Lord, for blessing her. I thank you, Lord, for protecting her, watching over her, keeping her, God, and making her part of this new system, this new way, the new wave that's going on, God, that she will learn how to release her faith and let her faith carry her to new places. Sometimes you have to spread your sails, Janice. And let God take you where he wants to take you, and that we're not in control of everything, right? Yeah, when God started moving me, I lost control, so to speak. Not in a negative way, in a positive way, really. But when I let God have control, he started taking me places that I didn't want to go at first until I realized, man, this is good. This is better than I thought. This is greater than I thought, Janice, and that's what I see going on with you. Let God spread your sails and let him take, trust him. Give your will to him and let your will become the sail, if you will. And say, Father, blow your wind wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, and blow me where you want me to be. It says that the children of God are like, you know, like the wind. You know, the spirit is kind of like the wind. You don't know where it comes from, where it's going. And so thank you, Jesus, that's what Janice got. She may not always know where she's going, whether she's coming or whether she's going, but she knows that you're leading her and guiding her, God, and that she's willing to let you do that, even as uncomfortable as it is, God, to bless her and multiply her and increase her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. Amen. All right, Janice, very cool. Sally, $15. Thank you, Sally, from the UK, London. Thank you, Sally, for that $15. We thank you, Jesus, for that place of rest for her, God, entering into a rest of knowing that you are with her, that besides none other, that, God, she can depend on you, Father, for pure truth, for pure things. Other people have a certain amount of truth. Other people have a certain amount of love, have a different kind of love, but only one true love, and that's the love of God, Sally, in your life, and that true love is the only thing that's going to satisfy you because your hunger for him is beyond the love of men. It's beyond the love of human beings, though we need that, though we want that, though God designed it for us to have it. But I thank you, Lord, that your love is satisfying her, nurturing Sally tonight, Jesus, in Jesus' name, nurturing her, satisfying her longings in Jesus' name, her longing to be loved and know she's loved, God. In the name, know she's favored. Know that you're with her, God, in Jesus' name. Let it be done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Open up those doors, God, that have been slammed shut, that have been locked. Open them up. The unlocking of the doors, God, her emotions, her mental, the mind in the mind, the emotions and the memories, God, of blessing, that she is blessed. That's why it says when you do communion, it says do these things in remembrance of me, that her remembrances will be things of God, the blessing of God, the love of God, the calling of God, the purpose of God, and refocusing your focus. Hallelujah. Amen. The storm is coming. Peter steps out of the boat, Sally, like you. You step out of the boat in the middle of the storm. Amen. It'll be hard to keep our eyes on Jesus, but you will do it because you're called to it. All right, Angela Lanham, $19. Thank you, Angela. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, Father, for that the convening of her faith, God, that she is coming to the conclusions, God, that besides you there is none other, that she is never going to make you jealous. She's never going to make you have to reprove her or to, you know, correct her in as far as, you know, in a tough manner. But, Father, she's so gentle. She's so yielded to you, God, that you're going to give her the eye. And when you make motions with your eyes, she's going to be so sensitive to you that she will follow your eyes instead of having to come and grab her and take her and say, go this way. You know, when God moves his eyes, you becoming so sensitive, aware of what he's doing, that you find yourself doing things you don't even know what you're doing. And it's being very sensitive and aware of God, you know, leading you and guiding you and telling you, you know, very, very in a way that's so easy, like just looking in a certain way. You go, oh, you want me to go that way? And instead of having to, you know, direct you and write a map, you know, it's just like, you're moved easily by him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. Thank you for all the work you've been doing in her, Father. In Jesus' name, building her faith, letting her know you called her, God. You've chosen her in Jesus' name. And there's none beside you in Jesus' name. None beside you, God. None beside you. And when we get that, there's no jealousy, no unnecessary warfare of your jealousy because you're jealous over her, God. You're jealous over your daughter. In Jesus' name, the wisdom you're giving her to be a wise virgin, and in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Nicole from D.C., 2222. Thank you. Yes, Lord. 22, the year of treasures. When I see 22, that's what I think of because, Nicole, you know as well as I do that 2022 is the year of treasures, the year of entering into treasures and treasures of things that we've treasured that we've never entered into. We're entering into things we haven't entered into. We're the treasures of God that we're entering into this year. And with many people, it will be sealed. They may not actually, you know, like, it's done and known and made clear that it is done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be done, Father, in Jesus' name. Let it be done. Let the whole, the word, 2222, 4-2, God, that her whole world is you're bringing, confirming and bearing witness that you are with her, God, and that you are doing the work. It's not her doing the work. She's working with you in a major shift of you working with her, her working with God, Christ, the Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Working with you. Amen. It's not just him working. He's working with you and through you. We are the temple. And God, this whole thing about the temple, we're going to see some things, Nicole, about the temple. And maybe the temple of Jerusalem. I'm not sure if that's going to manifest this year or not, but we're getting really close to that. Because this whole thing that I got when I sent those cards out to everybody was the Ark of the Covenant. I had on the front the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the, you know, the treasure chest. Is his presence. The treasure chest is, you know, yes, the wealth, the blessing, the food, the manna, the law, everything. But the authority, Aaron's rod, the literal manifested favor of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And if she carries the ark, God, if you use her to be a priest, to carry the ark, and to open up this thing about the temple to a new place where we no longer have a temple that is in for the wilderness, but we have a temple that we're building, a temple, God, that is in Jerusalem, a place of stability, a place of where we're no longer moving from place to place. We're there. We're living there in Jesus' name in that place. Hallelujah. Karen, $35. Thank you, Karen, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Karen. We thank you, Lord, for her heart being, God is measuring your heart, Karen, measuring your heart. And like he said, measure the temple. He told John to measure the temple. I'm sure I understand all this. This is measure the temple. Yeah. And so God is measuring your heart and to show you that the work he's done in your heart, that the work he's done in making your heart big, opening you up for the new thing, for the true purpose of your hunger and your thirst. And once that's satisfied, then everything else will follow. Everything else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will come, will follow. Amen. They will be added to you. And it's no longer a matter of struggling, battling to make it happen. Because a lot of Christians, you know, we're taught to do that. You know, there's a time to work our faith and all that. But the whole thing God's trying to show you is that that once you wrestle with the angel and, you know, wrestle with God and get the blessing, and once that's done, then everything else just comes. Right. Amen. It just all comes. It all happens. We pray a little prayer. Boom. Pray another little prayer. Boom. Pray another little prayer. Boom. So the main purpose of getting that blessing is for that pray a little prayer. Boom. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's an easy thing because we enter into the flow with God's heart. Karen, in Jesus' name. Amen. Angela Joy, my friend Angela, $40. Thank you, Angela Joy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for all the people of the surface coming into the deep, God, that we're digging for treasures this year. There's a digging deep in God's people. And I thank you, Lord, for the digging deep in Jesus' name, that you're digging deep into her life. You're digging deep around her, you know, just in her life personally, but for looking for many treasures have been hidden. You know, I even talked about the story where, Angela, you live in Georgia, where the man that I dealt with that was a multi-billionaire that God asked me to send him an email to correct him about some things. I didn't want to do it. Remember that? And I did it by the grace of God anyway. And so that guy, before all that happened, he had called me and he just moved to Georgia. I didn't know he moved to Georgia. He called me out of the blue. Hey, Randy, prophesy to me. That's what he was from another country. So he thought, hey, Randy, prophesy to me. Call me on the phone. Prophesy to me. You know, that's what I do. You know, okay. I just started prophesying, and it was about land and property. And so what he did is he went and hid a bunch of cash out there. Yes, that's what he did. I mean, he even gave me some of it, you know, as far as put it in my hand. But God, I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating. This is exactly what happened. He had a lot of cash, man. I mean, it was smart. He knew the country that he was in. He was so wealthy that the president, and I have documented proof of all this, the president of that country went after him. Yeah, because he was having too much influence. So they were trying to stop him, right? Anyway, long story short, so he buried that money, you know, hid it out there. And he had did it in different places. He's now in Germany. I can't say too much, but he's been in Germany. He was in Germany several years ago. I don't know if he's still there or not. I haven't been in contact with him. But everywhere he had money, everywhere he went, right? And bought property, he had money out there. And Georgia is one of those places. So I started thinking when I started saying to you that buried money, like buried treasures, like I literally thought, that's right, she's in Georgia. And they flew me out to Georgia where he bought that property. Once I gave him that word, and that's exactly what they were doing. They were doing that property thing. I flew out there. He flew me out there. And then had to minister to people for several days. I just prophesied one person after the other. And we eat and went for 2 or 3 days. I don't remember exactly how long it was. But it's crazy. And even my pastor went out there. The second time I went out there, my pastor went out there. He was out there too. They flew him out there. It's kind of crazy. But it all happened in Georgia, right there in Georgia. So anyway, I can't say too much about that, but at the same time, amazing. So you're unveiling treasures, opening up treasures, opening up places, God. We're digging. There's a digging going on. It's no longer on the, because the first word I got when I started talking to you was about surface. People on the surface are looking for things, but it's not going to be in the surface. It's hidden treasures. It's hidden. The only way you can find hidden things is if you have a calling to it and you're being led by God. That's why he hides them. So that's why that man that I'm talking about that came to America and bought that property for, I remember the price, the real estate people were even there. I mean, he had me meeting with everybody, the real estate people, the guy who set up the property, land, I mean, everything. I met him in one of the houses up there on the property, and it's kind of a long story, but pretty amazing. Wow. Why am I even saying this? I don't know. I'm getting all kinds of thoughts going through my head. So the treasures. The hidden treasures, 2022. Hallelujah. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about that, but wow, very interesting. Something's going on with that. Anyway, okay. I don't know how you have a part, if any, of that. I'm not even sure exactly what it is, Angela Joy, but there you go. Hallelujah. 40, the number 40. It's important for something. Hallelujah. Open it up, God. Open it up, Jesus. Bless her, increase her, multiply her, God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, Sandra, $50. Thank you, Sandra, for the 50. We just bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your family. Thank you for the blessing of God on your family. God, that you're going to see not just you get blessed, but your family's going to be blessed. It's like God's changing your whole heritage to being whatever you are now, to being blessed. Being blessed somehow, God is you know, like Sandra, you kind of like Abraham. Abraham was called up from his mother and father. He's going to a place that he would show him. He didn't know exactly where he was going to land, and he did it. You know, just kind of like you, God's called you to be the forerunner of this thing, and in the spirit, as you obey God in your heart and you do what God says, that He's leading to a place in the land that, you know, it's all about the family. You know, God's a family man. And even though he does strange things with the supernatural family, we talked about that last night, supernatural family is a whole different way he treats, and a whole different thing that goes on. It's a whole different thing. You can't take a supernatural family and treat him like a natural family in some senses, because it just doesn't work. I talked about that last night a little bit. In that sense, the family blessing, like God would say to you, like he would say to Abraham, you know, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to curse you, to curse you. And when he offered up Isaac, when he made that final test and offered up his own son, that it came to the place of him being blessed by God in a fashion that he had not been blessed before by God. He'd been really blessed by God. And, you know, Abraham was a pioneer that pioneered it and did what God said, because he had something within him like you, that he would do it, that he would believe God for it. And Abraham believed God, and it was so. Amen. Sam, Sandra, believe God. Yeah, it was so. All right, Nikki and Charles, $55, I think you have 30 and 25, I think, something like that. $55 altogether. Thank you for that. Praying for Christian, for Jeffrey, for Melanie, for Kyle, Stephanie, and Lillian. So we just thank you for Christian. God, we thank you, Lord, for blessing Christian. God, we thank you, Lord, for that. We just talked about Sandra, the family blessing. Thank you, Lord, for Nikki and Charles. Father, people of faith, Father, that we're not only interested in us, we're interested in our families. God, I thank you that sometimes the way you have us deal with our families as supernatural beings, like you did with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and, you know, Abraham had to offer up Isaac on the mountain. You know, I mean, it's just not exactly how a good natural father would treat a good natural family and his good natural child, because it was supernatural. It was supernatural, my God. When you have a supernatural family, God deals with things differently because he has to, Nikki and Charles. God has to deal with the family because the supernatural realm, that the spirit, the high level of God's glory requires a high level of offering and sacrifice unto the Lord. And it has to be connected to the whole family. Abraham connected it to Isaac. Isaac connected it to Jacob. Jacob connected it to Joseph and all the brothers. And the way they did things was completely off. Like Abraham and Sarah couldn't even have a child. It had to be supernaturally, just like being born again. You know, the promise of Isaac. What is that? Supernatural birth. What happened with Abraham and Sarah? Supernatural birth. They were past being able to have children. They were past it. And then they begin to deal with their whole family. God dealt with their whole family, you know, with Isaac, offering up Isaac. I mean, that's not normal. Why is it not normal? Because it was supernatural. God had to deal with the supernatural realm because he was dealing with a family that had to be protected by the supernatural love of God, and they had to be offered up to God in a way that was supernatural. And Lord, I thank you that for Christian, in Jesus' name, for Stephanie and Lillian and Melanie and Kyle and Jeffrey. God, we thank you, Lord, that we just offer them up to you, Jesus. We give them to you, God. I don't know what you're going to do, what you're going to say to each one of them. How are you going to have dedicate them and offer them up to you, Jesus? But, God, they can't be out there in the globe akin to Nikki and Charles, who are supernatural mothers and fathers in the spirit, and then just like say, oh, well, yeah, we're just going to raise them and do things like, you know, like everybody else tells us how to do, write all these books about how families should do families. And in fact, I think we can live by that. Well, this is probably pretty some really good stuff in some of those books, but there's not much of that Abraham stuff in there. I guarantee you that. They wonder why the family's falling apart and not protected. We're supernatural people. We have to deal with our family in a supernatural way. And God, I think of a Christian God. He called him supernatural, God given, God inspired, God birthed, God breathed. In Jesus' name, on Christian, in Jesus, on Jeffrey, God, I don't know who Jeffrey is, but for Jeffrey, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Consider Jeffrey, Father, that people begin to pray for Jeffrey and people begin to intercede for Jeffrey. God, that Jeffrey will submit himself to the Father and realize that if we don't give ourselves to God, then we have a family that supernaturally, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we don't have that supernatural protection, the devil's going to try to take us out. Many times it's very successful. We thank you, Lord, that won't happen with Jeffrey or Melanie or Kyle. In Jesus' name, it's Stephanie and Lillian. In Jesus' name, they're going to walk according to the supernatural family realm. Not what, you know, the common basic family realm that people, they build this idolatrous altar and want us to treat our families and act with our families, you know, like Christian moral bunch of nonsense, but they don't even know what they're talking about. Not under the law. We don't have these regulation things. We're been birthed by the Spirit of God. The law of Moses passed away. We don't live like that anymore. Try to live like that, you'll be, the devil will kill you, take you out. That's why we need God's protection. That's why Abraham offered up Isaac. God spoke his protection over him. Jesus' name, because he was offered up by his own father. He had to do things God's way. Hallelujah. It's Stephanie and Lillian and Kyle, God, we thank you, Lord. We offer them up for your protection, for your glory, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. They have an inheritance ahead of them from the Father. In Jesus' name. Walk with them. Watch over them. Keep them, Lord. May Nikki and Charles continue to offer up their children to you, Father, and do whatever you say do. Do say whatever they need to be told. We're not like the normal, regular Christian family. Sorry, if I sound a little funny. No, they don't even know what they're talking about. She said, my mother and brothers will hear the word of God and do it. Abraham did it. It wasn't in the law. Nobody's ever done that before. It was the Spirit of God, and God had it for a reason. Thank you, Lord, for that, Lord, in Jesus' name, for Nikki and Charles. Hallelujah. Bless them, God. Show them the ways of God in Jesus' name. Why Job offered up for his children all the time. You know, why, you know, this whole thing, the supernatural realm. Man, you know, the devil just took them out. God replaced it with new, and that's what God's saying. He said, well, I'm going to bring you new that will be protected and kept. Jesus' name. Yeah, all right, Bianca, $55 and then $8. Thank you, Bianca. I got the $8 in the mail. Thank you for that. And the $55 from PayPal. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, Lord, bless her, God. Increase her and multiply her, God. Let her know that your love for her is solid, that no weapon formed against her shall prosper, but every tongue that rises against her in judgment. Even sometimes we judge our own selves wrongfully. I judge myself many times wrongly. Judging myself according to what people judge me. Yeah, they're probably right. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And the Lord says, no, I don't judge you like that. Paul the Apostle says, I don't even judge my own self. That's what Paul the Apostle said. I don't judge my own self. What does that mean? Sometimes, you know, we judge ourselves wrongfully according to what people say, what people think, the natural realm, the Christian natural realm I'm talking about. And God says, I've called you to exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think or even imagine. But you have to obey God on every level. The devil does everything he can to stop it by us even getting us to judge ourselves. Paul the Apostle, read it for yourself, Bianca. I don't know exactly what that. Just Google. Paul just said, I can't even judge myself. Because he did judge himself. Well, I'm not worthy for this. I'm not, you know, all the junk. You know, Paul was the first one to say, hey, I judge myself too, wrongfully. Lord, I thank you for the for righteous judgment, that Bianca will judge herself righteously according to what God says about her, how blessed she is, how favored she is. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, you are God's girl. I mean, not the regular, natural, Christian, natural, yeah, they're supernatural, but the supernatural birth and supernatural obedient daughter of God. Hallelujah. It's like the natural Israel. They couldn't really, they had the promises of God on them. They couldn't really be real Jews. Paul said real Jews are people that are born again and obey God. A lot of Christians, they get born again, they don't really obey God. They don't really want. They just do things what the church folks say we're supposed to do. They interpret the Bible according to Christianity normalities and how men say it's supposed to be. That's what Paul says. You know, Paul was understood things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Bianca, in Jesus' name. Keep her, watch her, bless her, Lord. And you pray that prayer, Bianca. I pray it often over there. Just when I know people are attacking me. But sometimes I go in seasons of a lot of warfare. And I just, you know, rise up and I say that my favorite prayer, the one God gives me, is no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. And that's even my own tongue. That's even my own judgment. Sometimes I judge myself. I said, what are you doing? You're going to judge angels. You don't know how to judge yourself properly. Quit judging yourself unrighteously, Randy. Take communion. Learn who I am. Be an Abraham. Be an Abraham servant, not a, you know, a Saul servant. All right, Jeannie, $100. Thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. Lord, I thank you for Jeannie, for the promised land, God, for the promises of God. Father, I thank you for when they moved into the promised land, Jeannie, they thought different. Everything was different. Everything changed. Right? Yeah, everything changed. And they had to change the way they thought. I see God changing the way you think more and more and more of the time. Like you do with me, by spirit of revelation, God is changing the way I think about a lot of things, about myself even, about my relationship with him, about my salvation, about what real salvation is, what the real gospel is, according to Paul. Paul says, if anybody preaches any other gospel than what I preach, let it be a curse. I mean, what a statement. And I hear myself saying stuff like that, going, I can't say that. I'm telling you, the battle I go through, I can't say that. Any other body prophesies any other word than what I prophesy, let it be a curse. That sounds crazy to me. I haven't said it yet, but I can feel it rumbling up inside of me. I'm resisting it. You know, it's just like, that's what I'm saying. You enter into a new territory, you start entering into new authority and new thoughts and new ways of doing things. Now, I've never done that stuff before. I don't want to do that stuff in the natural. One reason I didn't want to be a prophet back in the old days, before I knew what a prophet was. I don't want to be the bad boy, the judgment guy. It's a negative, you know, bringing judgment on everybody. I mean, I didn't want that. I hated that. Now I'm finding myself saying stuff, going like, this is crazy, but it's God, the mind of God, the word of, it owns the word of God, 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 by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. When you enter into the promised land, they start eating differently. They start thinking different because now they don't eat manna anymore. The way they got their provision was all changed. Everything was different. They had to think different. Now they have their own property, their own land. They started thinking different. Yeah, changed everything. Jeannie, get ready for that. Chris, $100. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. We just bless him, God. Increase him, God, in Jesus' name. Take the seeds that he have given and planted. Father, the way he's prayed, the seeds of prayer, the seeds of love, the seeds of compassion, the seeds of desire that he has for him and his children, his family, to walk with God, to be blessed by God, to be a family as an example that God will say, look at this family. This family is a family of God. And Chris has been a father of God. Lord, he's trying to learn your ways of how to be a father, how to be a husband. Because, Chris, when we start growing up in the Spirit, and you're going to be an Abrahamic covenant person, you got to start realizing Abraham wasn't your common, everyday, you know, guy. He's like, you know, even with some of the things that went on with him. You know, he says, leave your father and mother, go to a place. I mean, how many times do people say, don't ever leave your mother and father? It would not be God. You know, I mean, I don't know how to say it the other way than that. And like people start judging Abraham, you know, and, you know, they don't judge Abraham because it's in the Bible and they sell the end result of Abraham, but they judge us because they're saying, like God saying, come out from among them, your family, and be you holy, be you separate. When God started telling me that, I started going like, what? And man, the warfare, the stuff. But you know what? When God started blessing me and saying, showing me where I was going, what's happening, you know, I started realizing I can't think like my normal Christian family thought. Good people, very good people, good moral people, not ungodly, unrighteous bunch of heathens, and not very much of a hypocrite, a little bit of a hypocritical in some ways, but, you know, that was my judgment of them at the time. But when I saw later, they did a lot better than I did. But when I got called into that Abrahamic covenant thinking of the way Abraham thought and the way Jesus thought and the way he said in front of his own parent, in front of his own parents, Chris, he's sitting there. His parents have shown, his family has showed up and said, come out and talk to us because we need you. You're so special. And the people need to see that you're a family man. Come out and talk to us, oh Jesus. drop that beating right now and come and be with us. What did Jesus do? I mean, this look how this sounds. He's so much like Abraham. He said, yeah, they came and said, you know, your mother and your brothers are waiting for you. They want to interfere with your meeting, not interfere, but they want to, you know, they know that they deserve the attention, and then you're paying attention to the people of God over here, your mama and your, who gave birth to you and your family. Yeah, this is for you, you know, and Jesus said, hey, bro, you know, thank you. And he's saying this in front of everybody. His mama's sitting there listening. His brother's sitting there listening. He says, my mothers and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And do it. What was that? Oh, Jesus, you disrespectful little punk. You know, you get up 30 years old, start seeing some miracles, seeing some wine. Even your mama was there for that. Turned wine, water into wine, and now you got the big head. Boy, what's wrong with you? This is your mama wanting your attention. And he's just like Abraham. He's going like, man, I got to go take my child and offer him up on the hill, man. What did his wife think about that? Abraham, that's not very family-ish. You're going to take our son and do what with him? You know, you think you're a good father? Chris, okay, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but you know what I mean. So this whole thing that we start asking God, how do I raise my family? How am I as a husband? How am I as a father? How am I as a servant? How am I as a preacher? How am I as a revelator? How am I as a servant of God? How do I do this thing? Don't just do what everybody says. They'll have you bowing in idolatry at the altar of the family. Like they were trying to get Jesus to do. Jesus, your mommy is outside waiting for you. You don't want to disrespect her because, you know, the law says honor your mother and your father. And Jesus just said, he just said, I'm not, they were building an altar out there for you to come and bow down. Oh, the family. Don't forget about the family, Jesus, Abraham, and others. He didn't go down in there and fall down at the altar of family and say, yeah, excuse me, mothers and brothers who hear the word of God and do it. I got to go, you know, to the bow down to the altar, the family altar over here and commit idolatry. Sorry, I won't be the son of God anymore. I'll just be a regular good preacher, but I want to be, you know, make sure that I don't have, you know, that's my family out there. I got to go. I can't disrespect my family in front of y'all. That would not look very good. Abraham, and he's thinking of Abraham. He got some Abraham blood in him. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I was. Where do you think Abraham got that? He got that from me. I know I'm getting a little crazy right now, but I'm preaching pretty good, I think. Chris, man. What a word, bro. What the heck is going on? Don't ask me. I just work here. I'm just the in-between boy. That's all I know. I'm just the in-between boy. Take it. Run with it. Whatever you want to do. Okay, Mike, $100. Thank you, Lord, Mike, for that $100. See, you sent me a text here. Please pray for Soldier. I'm not sure what started. He started getting sick. Man, what a word. I was about to go under crazy. Almost lost everything. I thought it was over. The supernatural job, huge job, started opening. It's crazy. This is in transition. Couldn't understand to your word what was happening. Oh, okay. Wow, interesting. So our baby doll, Soldier, is sick. You better not let that boy be sick. Remember when he came into the studio and started wagging his tail and messing up some camera stuff? I loved him anyway. That big bulldog. Little baby. He's such a little baby. Sweet little baby. Yeah. Thank you for that $100 in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open up those doors, God. We pray for soldier tonight, dear Jesus. We thank you for that, for soldier tonight. My God, bless him, keep him, watch over him. Almost died. And I'm going to move to Arkansas tomorrow. Get tied. I get tied. Please pray for soldier. Oh, my God. Bless his heart, little baby, little bulldog. You know, I don't know if you heard me say, remember the time that you guys showed up at the studio and he came in there wagging his big tail and not knocking over stuff, but almost knocking over stuff? How I got upset. I said, what are you doing? Get that dog out of here. Poor little thing. He was so excited. He wanted to see Uncle Randy. Yeah. But I love him. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for my brother. And his puppy dog, his baby doll. Touch him, Jesus. Help him move into his heart, God. You know, thank you, Lord, that Mike has given that baby doll to you, Jesus. And you bless him, God. Keep him. They're so innocent. They're like little children. That's just sweet, Jesus. Bless him, God, right now by the power of God. Open up. Cover and watch over in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Watch over in Jesus' name. Keep. Hallelujah. Wow. All right. Oh, you're in Arkansas there? In Arkansas. Oh, you're in Arkansas right now. Please pray. Weird stuff going on. Pray over the marriage, please. Okay. Yeah. So marriage always needs prayer, bro. Don't you know that? I pray over yours, you pray over mine. We'll pray over each other. All right. Pray over everybody's, right? Marriage always needs prayer. My God. Mainly, we need prayer. All of us. All right. Oh, my brother God, I thank you, Jesus, for no idea why it sent those pictures. I thought, okay, I don't know either. Yeah, pretty good, actually. I don't know what to do with that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your glory, for the avenues, God, you're opening up, and the shifting of gears, and the opening up, Father, of new places. You know, Jesus' name, hallelujah. Yeah, in Jesus' name, how blessed, God, but in Arkansas right now. In Jesus' name, thank you, de lava araco panaje. Bandicho okida porapa. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, in Jesus' name. For Mike and Veronica, we bless them. We bless the marriage. We bless all the stuff. We bless, you know, just, you're teaching us. You're teaching men how to lay down their lives for their wives. The wives are learning how to receive it and honor us. Amen. Honor the men. When men aren't honored, it does something to them. You know, they need to be honored. And yet we have to do things that are honorable at the same time. So sometimes we go through battles. We go through struggles. And we need grace and forgiveness and love and compassion. Amen. We really do. People are people, and they have things that go on. Yeah. So I thank you, Jesus, for moving in and completing the process of cleansing and washing and making new, God, restoring and completing the completion in Jesus' name of calling, you know, coming out from among them. We're coming out from among the system. In the middle of doing that, there's warfare like crazy, man. We're coming out from the midst of a system. It's in the process, even now. It's going to take some months to complete this, but we're coming out of a system. And that system, as we walk, it's going to be crazy. That's the crazy moment of walking out of a system. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. So we're going to pay the price for things. And the price will be paid. Some things will be difficult. And the more we're involved in the warfare of being part of the change, the more that, you know, we're going to have structural damage on some things. If we break the witchcraft in Jesus' name, we break up all the human manipulation, the manipulation of tradition, the manipulation of religion, the manipulation of self-willed people using the Holy Spirit to get their way and using the things of God to get their way. God, we thank you. We resist that. We command you to overcome. We command you to, Jesus' name, witchcraft, we just thank you, Lord, that we will not yield to you. You will not. You have nothing in us. You have nothing in us. How can anything affect Jesus? So Lord, I thank you that anything that witchcraft and evil can try to come, but we are now in Jesus' name disconnecting. That's what God's doing. He's saying, come out from among them, from this religious system that we've been in. It's been a mixture of self-will and the devil has taken advantage of it with witchcraft and human crafting and crafting their own thing. And we break away from that in Jesus' name. We separate from that system, God. Some people don't even realize that they think the Holy Spirit, and the whole time it's witchcraft. The whole time it's self-emulation. The whole time it's self-spirit. It's the spirit of self, like the old Trump thing, sad to say. A lot of that was because people didn't make the transition. They just kept on going the same way. And God said, I'm not going that way right now. And they weren't able to move with it. It was difficult. And witchcraft is very much involved in that. Even Jeremiah Johnson said, you know, witchcraft, but, you know, can't blame people for witchcraft when they call you on your wrong prophesying, but I understand this issue. Difficult. Hallelujah. When we're coming out of a system and all the stuff's going to be uncovered, you got to uncover, things have to be uncovered, and digging means uncovering. And when you uncover, you're digging for treasures. And when you dig for treasures, you find things. Treasures sometimes are answer to things that stop things and hinder things. But we're not looking for fruit. We're looking for roots. I don't care about the fruit. The fruit is important in the sense that it shows us that there's some bad roots. But we go after the root. We go after the root. So, yeah, we dig and we dig for treasures in Jesus' name and open it up, God, and break it loose and expose it so that we can know what we're – people don't even know what they're walking away from. They're so emotionally attached to this old system. They're so emotionally attached to the old system. And when you start talking, when Jesus started talking bad about, you know, about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious teachers, when Jesus started talking bad about them, his own disciples were emotionally attached to it. And they said, Jesus, don't you know you're offending them? They were worried about him offending them. The spiritual leaders of that time, that's a fact. I've read that scripture. I've quoted it just recently. They were afraid that we're going to offend them. Why do you talk about them? We're trying to win them over. You're trying to be, don't you need to be nicer to them, Jesus? Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to speak plainly about this. They're fathers of the devil. They got some, you know, stuff going on, and I'm going to call it what it is. Do what they say, but don't do what they do. And then he turns around and says, calls them devils and snakes and vipers. Friend, what do you think snakes and vipers is all about? The religious system under the spirit of snakes. That's why he called them snakes and vipers. Friend, you think that was just kind of a casual word? Snakes and vipers is snakes and vipers. It's not little wild stray kitty cats, which can be really rough. They'll claw you and bite you and bite you. He's talking snakes. Snakes, vipers. And that's why God's saying come out from among them, because most people don't even know that they've been subject to that nonsense. They don't even have a clue. God's saying come out from among it. All right, so that's what's going on. All right, in Jesus' name. All right, Daniel, $100. Thank you, Daniel, for that. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for opening up that there's something, I don't know if there's somebody suicidal that maybe you're, you know, maybe a distance from the family or something. I'm not sure what that is, but the spirit of suicide, trying to attack people, maybe people that you know, people that you, that I'm not sure what that is, but like, you know, when Judas committed suicide, you're like, you know, people start feeling betrayed. They start feeling like God has left them, God has forsaken them. I don't know, Daniel, if this is people around you or what this is, or attacking you or attacking people around you that you love, but be aware of that and pray about that. I believe God's going to protect and keep them, but be aware of that in Jesus' name, because we're coming under attack of the enemy, and the devil is accusing people and telling people God's not with you, and those spirits, those lying spirits, trying to tell people God's not with them. When they get convinced of that, they start going, okay, God's not with me. And if God's not with me, then what am I living for? If God's not with me, then what am I doing? If God's not with me, then what? Yeah. Then what? It's very, it's a season we've entered into. It's called a great distress. And so we need to pray for people, believe God, get them into the right kind of ministry, get them into the right information, get them the right information so they can know. We're going to have a whole group of people that are pre-tribulation rapture people, that when that doesn't happen, they're going to be very distraught, very suicidal, very, you know, I guess God is not really God. You know, all I'm already saved. It's going to create a whole atmosphere of people just, you know, but God has called you to be a part of a life-giving force in Jesus' name, to bring life and hope and victory and have finances to back up a system that will take care of those things. Poor and the needy, the wealth of the wicked laid up for the righteous, Daniel. A lot of people are going to die off for different reasons, like they did in the old. They died off. And when they died off, you know, a whole new generation came forth, like in the wilderness, when they all died off. And then they came forth a new group. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes that happens, and it's distraughting. But the new people that come forth, even though Joshua and Caleb was 80 and 40, you know, a lot of the young ones there, but we're going to see a revival with people, young people, people that we got to be ready for that. Amen? Yeah. To bless, and you're part of that. You're called to that. You're called to be a blessing. You're called to be a father to many in Jesus' name. Let it be done, God, right now. Amen. All right, $100, Indrika, $100, $10 for Kim. Pray for Kim tonight. She says she left that offering for $10 for Kim. And Lord, thank you for Indrika's friend Kim tonight. God, we thank you in Jesus' name that she will not suffer the things of the world, the things of the flesh, suffer the things that are unnecessary. She will live and declare the glory of God in every way, that the enemy will not take out her life, take out the things that make her, that the things that are important. That God is also saying, Kim, that he's showing you how to give, you know, not let things interfere between you and God. You know, God will bless us with many great things, with blessings and life and health and wholeness. But the main thing is we got to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. And love our neighbor as ourself. And I thank you, Lord, for that blessing, God, and Jesus' name for Kim, that she will walk in that she lives in that, she will dwell in that place. And because of that, there will be no jealousy warfare. God will not be jealous. When we make God jealous, because we're not putting him first, sometimes we slip off into it, we don't even realize it. And then the warfare of God's jealousy, just like, you know what jealousy does in a marriage, when there's jealousy going on, it gets crazy. Same thing with God. It gets crazy. And God says, hey, make sure, you know, he's told me this many times, Randy, don't let other things get between me and you, because when it does, I'm a jealous God. I get jealous. And he starts acting not crazy, but you know what I mean? Yeah, it gets crazy. Like, what's happening? So I thank you, Jesus, right now for the power of God to open it up in Jesus' name and destroy the works of Satan, destroy the works of darkness, destroy the... And bring in a blessing, connecting Kim to the new things, the things that you're doing now, God, that we let the old things pass away. You know, all things become new for Kim. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. But the devil can't rob, kill, and to steal and destroy. But sometimes when we ask God to bless us and really bless us, sometimes our relationships and things, we go through battles with that. And God says, you know, what's first in your life? Me or them, me or that. And then once we make him first, then he will gladly bring us lovers and friends and wealth and blessing and financials and, you know, favor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And bring the right people for us to connect with. Right? Because he wants us to be blessed with relationships. He wants us to be blessed with ministry and calling and anointings and wealth and blessing. All that is of God, but it's got to be God's going to be first. And I thank you, Lord, for Kim, that that's the promise to her. She will walk in that and never veer from that, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Connecting her to Andrika. Thank you for connecting her to Andrika and Andrika's family. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. ESW Auto says $50. Thank you, Lord, for that $50. We thank you, God, for opening up the heart of God to that DFW Auto says will be part of the heart of God, will function from the heart of God, and people will be dealt with from the heart of God. You know, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God. Let the heartbeat of God be the foundation of DFW Auto says, God, in Jesus' name. Tyreek, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Tyreek. God, we thank you, Lord, for his future. Thank you, Lord, for watching over his future, for keeping his future, letting him connect to the right people, God, that anything that he puts before you in any way doesn't mean that those people are not of God for your life, but it just means sometimes you got to keep God first, right? There's something about that tonight, right now. God's protection, full 100% provision and protection comes from keeping God first. Amen. And our battles being won is all about keeping God first. It's just that simple. And I thank you, Lord, that Tyreek is doing that, God. You're calling him his future family, God, his future blessings, his future wife, his future children, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Blessing God. Bless Torrey. $10. Thank you, Jesus, for Torrey. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that Torrey will lay down his life for you, God. He will give his life to you, Jesus, and that you will portray to him a real father, what a real father is. Amen. You're the only one that really knows Father God, and you teach us, and Torrey will make a great father who will be a great friend. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Amen. Chris, $15. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Same thing with Chris, the father's heart in him, God, that it's hard to be a father, you know, and you have to show us how to do it, God. And I thank you, Lord, for the fatherhood of God in Chris, God, to being a great father and a great friend and a great choice to choose to be a friend with. It's Chris, God, that the young people around you will choose you to be a friend and trust you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Andrika, $15. Thank you, Lord, for Andrika. Thank you, Lord, for the mother the mother of God's children. God, that you, sometimes we have to be tough. Sometimes we have to say things and do things we don't want to say and do, but we know that what we do everything for the future. God's going to show you that everything you're preparing for the future. You are in preparation mode with your children, with your family, with the business. It's for the future. It's all about God's giving you a projection of the future, an understanding of everything you're doing. You're preparing for the future. So you're going to think about what's the future going to be like in my business? What's the future going to be like? And make adjustments. And God letting that preparation is an adjustment. Preparation is, you know, making the way for. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given her a heart, Andrika, a heart to prepare the way for the future, God. You're going to show her how to do that, giving her wisdom. In Jesus' name, the future for her children and their families and their wives and their children and her grandchildren in the future. And Chris and Kim and the ESW Auditors, all that. God, that you give her a heart for the future. Because if you're prepared for the future, when the future hits, you're ready. The future doesn't knock you over and take you out. The future raises you up and blesses you because you've lined up with it. You prepared for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Noel, $100. Thank you, Noel, for what God's doing in your life. And I thank you, Jesus, for the life of Christ in you, God, that the wealth transfer, God, that you're you're going to be very involved in that, very involved in the wealth transfer, God, that you've given her a heart to see people be blessed, be prosperous, and to have, to be understand the will of God toward wealth and toward blessing and toward inheritance and toward all that. I think she's going to be a teacher of that. She's going to share that with her people, with her friends, with her son, with her family. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Like Abraham prepared, left his mother and father and went to a new land, went to a new place, that Noel's going to a new place, God, a new land. And there's no idolatry. There's the relationship with God. There is the centerpiece of how God is setting up the globe to be run from Jerusalem, from Israel. It was like a whole new thing. And I thank you, Lord, that we got to start thinking new. We've got to start being ready for what's about to happen, because those that are ready for the future are going to be the only ones standing when it's all over with. And I thank you, Lord, that Noel has been called to stand in Jesus' name, called to stand. You called her to stand, God, not to sit, but to stand in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Your glory over her, Father, is amazing. Your glory over her is amazing. And the banner over you is love. The banner over you, Noel, is love in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Carmen, $130.20. Thank you, Carmen, for that. Got that in the mail today. Thank you so much. We just bless you and thank you, Lord, for the favor of God on Carmen, God, that you are sustaining her, God. You're going to show that you're going to sustain her through all kinds of situations, like you did with Isaac, with sustaining, not just sustaining is not the right word. But, you know, when Elijah went to the widow of Zarephath, you know, the miracle was that God sustained the widow and Elijah through the famine where people were dying everywhere. So to make it through that was a miracle. To make it through that was like being in abundance. And so Elijah goes to the widow of Zarephath and says, you know, cook me a cake first. You know, he was showing her, you know, that he represented God, you know, to the people as a prophet. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew Elijah. And prophets represent God. And not everybody agrees with what the prophet says, which is part of the life. But him giving, him asking her to give to him first was like giving to God first. And when that happened, you know, the blessing of God that came on her and sustained her was like having wealth, you know. And when we live in the supernatural realm, sometimes it looks like we're just barely making it, but when nobody else is making it, very little people are making it, and you're making it. It's like being a rich person and having the only one in town that has food that nobody knows about, because you've been rich and you've hidden food and you have food and whatever, you get food. But it's like, you know, look, you've been sustained in the midst of famine, in the midst of, you know, yeah, because, you know, like putting God first. This whole thing about putting God first for his provision, knowing that sometimes putting God first is store food. Sometimes putting God first means, you know, store food and then, take care of the God's business, whatever God is having you do. You take care of that, just like the widow did. She took care of the God's business first. And because she did that, God sustained her in the midst of that and raised her up. Now everybody talks about her. How many people have talked about the widow of Zarephath? Everybody. Amen. Everybody. Because she broke the pattern. You know, it was amazing. God really used her. Donald and Tanya, thank you, Lord, for $160. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Donald and Tanya, God. We thank you, Lord, for the success, the spirit of success, like Joshua, learning how to meditate on the Word of God, learning how to moving from manipulation to yielding. Moving from manipulation to taking authority. And the only way you take authority is through the voice of God. The only thing that keeps us from manipulation and control is the voice of God. Because when we obey the voice of God, he's in control. When we obey the voice of God, God is in control. He's moving. He's doing stuff. So by yielding control over to God, we're yielding over our authority. We yield over our authority, and we have to give it to God. We have authority over our own life. We have a will to choose whatever we want. When we choose to give it to God, then our will becomes his will and our authority becomes his authority. And our power, his power is our power. And our word is his word. And our success is his success. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of success, God, and Donald and Tanya. God, the way they pray, they're going to pray from a successful perspective. They're going to pray from a perspective of success. Donald's going to pray from a perspective of success, of blessing. Like Abraham, when Abraham prayed, and Isaac prayed, Jacob prayed, they prayed in a whole different way. They knew who their provider was. They knew that they were blessed. They knew that they were, there was a famine going on, and Isaac, a hundredfold in the midst of famine, he was, because it was the spirit of success upon them, of God, and meditation of God's word, and obeying God's word. You obey God's word, do it God's word, yield your will to the Father, then God's will happen. And when God's will is happening to you, no man can touch you without God's permission, ever. Hallelujah. Not ever. All right. We have, hang on a second. All right, we have Mark and Deborah from Washington. Mark and Deborah, thank you. $222. Amen. A gift of thanks. $222, what a great number, 222. The 222 number is going to become a big number for some reason. I don't know why exactly, but maybe because of your treasures and the year of blessing. In Jesus' name, and the year of the fear of the Lord, the reverential awe, the name of the names of God, the fear, the reverential fear and awe of God. We fear him and reverence him. Everything else works out. Our marriages work out. Our, you know, marriage is a work. Anybody, if you're not married, you don't under, if you're married and never been married, you sure you don't understand marriage. Marriage is a gift from God, and the devil is always trying to mess it up. That's why God hates divorce, because he hates what messes us up. Amen. And what separates us and divides us and causes grief and sorrow and breaks up love. God is a lover. And we thank you, Lord, for their life and for Deborah and Mark, God, at $222. Thank you. They say, Deborah says, a gift of thanks to the Lord who delivers us and restores us. Praise God for his grace and mercy. The strongholds, generational cycles we have been fighting in our marriage broke off us last night. Woo, she says. May our marriage be a new creation in Christ moving. Amen. Wow, girl, that is like, that was like, When I read those words, the strongholds / generational cycles we have been fighting in our marriage broke off last night. Thank God for your honesty. Thank God for you being, because people are not going, yeah, I've been fighting the same thing, but I've been afraid to say it. That people might think I'm not a family person or blah, blah, blah. You know, family peace, and people got to start looking at family stuff in a whole different way. You got to stop being embarrassed. That we're having issues and things. We've got to bring it up to the open and expose it. Expose the devil. Expose his lies. And I thank you, Lord, for exposing all that, God, and lifting up Mark, lifting up Deborah, God, bringing unity in their life, that they celebrate the strongholds, generational cycles that they've been fighting in their marriage are broken off. They said last night. I don't know what they were doing last night. Whatever it was, it was amazing. She goes, whoo, W-H-E-W. Exclamation mark. May our marriage be a new creation in Christ. Amen. There is something going on in marriage. There is some things going on in marriage. I think it's a sign of what God's doing before the marriage supper of the Lamb. I really do. In the marriage of the bride and the whole bride, the bride and groom. The whole thing. You guys are going to have an example of how God comes in and intervenes in Jesus' name into the bride's life and the groom coming together. Amen. Anytime two people come together and try to make a life, try to be one or make a life of one, it is a major, it's a battle. I don't care who it is. I don't care if your parents were perfect, your mom and daddy were perfect, everybody before you, it's a battle. It's work. And it's the grace of God. She says, a gift of thanks to the Lord who delivers us and restores us. Praise God for his grace and mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! That's what I say, Deborah John. Woo! Glory to God. That is amazing. Thank you, Jesus, for that. What a testimony. What a glory to God. Amen. What a praise fest. The praise fest of what you're doing in your people, God. The praise fest. The festival of praise. The festival of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow, and I speak over their, I lift their marriage, I lift them up to you as chaste virgins, Father, before you. Virgins as in pure before you, God, cleansed before you. God, in Jesus' name, chaste virgins in Jesus' name, in their hearts, in their soul, in their spirit, in the new beginning, Father, in the name of Jesus. You're preparing the pathway of righteousness and holiness before them, God, that they learn to love each other, befriend each other as they befriend Jesus, as Jesus, their friend, makes Deborah and Mark friends like never before. Amen. We thank you, Jesus, for that friendship, amen, that you have with Abraham and Moses and others, that God, we can have that with each other in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 222 in Jesus' name. 222. Wow. That's a replacement number. That's a God replacing things. That's a replacement number. Amen. I don't know why in Jesus' name, but there you go. All right, Regina, $20. Thank you, Regina, from California. Thank you, Regina. For that 20, we just bless you in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for the keeping power of her mind. God, the keeping power of your mind is like to keep your mind on the Lord, to keep, you know, the enemy, anything that the enemy tries to put on us. It's not like keeping our mind on the Lord. It's not that we don't, you know, can't watch a good movie or read a good book or something that's not, quote, biblical or Bible. But it's that, you know, to keep our mind focused on the Lord. It's to, you know, our mind being controlled by God. He's controlling it because we've yielded it to him. He's controlling it, Regina. And God, taking control of your mind, like he did with Jesus. Jesus offered it to him, and God says, okay, you know, let's go. And whatever God said, he did it. Because why? Because God had taken control of his will. Because Jesus offered it to him, gave it to him willingly. Therefore, the Father took it, took full advantage of it. To get the perfect will of God done. I thank you, Lord, for the perfect will of God in Regina, God. In Jesus' name, the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Not the good and acceptable, but the perfect will of God. In Jesus' name, and I rebuke any, somebody's having a tooth problem or a problem, some type of infection up in your jaw. I don't know who that is. Listen to me tonight. In Jesus' name, I take authority over that. I curse it at the root, your left-hand side, your upper jaw. I don't know if that's a tooth issue or just a jaw issue or what that is. In the name of your sinus, I'm not sure. It could be a sinus even. I'm not sure. But God is clearing that up for you right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. Regina, in Jesus' name, I sense the healing virtue of Christ in your life. Come forth, O healing virtue. Come forth, O healing power, God. In Jesus' name, and bring the spirit of restoration, Regina's restoration, the restoration of Regina, in Jesus' name, restoration, restore, the restoring, like you did with Job, when he began a brand new, you know, he restored him, brought him brand new everything, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen, let it be done, by the power of God. I don't know, a lot of you are suffering over a lot of things, a lot of things going on, a lot of suffering going on, and we're breaking loose, breaking free from an old system, and because we're doing that, it is. I've talked about this a few times, you know, it's a difficult time, it's not going to be over tomorrow. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, it's going to be over tomorrow. I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not going to tell you that bunch of bull, all right, yeah. All right, Angela Joy gave $8.88. Let's see what a prayer request might be. No prayer request. Thank you for the 888. Amen. You know, 888 just in the natural means new beginnings. Thank you, Lord, for new beginnings, God. And just bless her confirmation of new beginnings, of new things going on. In Jesus' name, and confirming that glory upon her life, God. Amen. Restoration. Amen. Amen. Glenn, my friend Glenn. God bless you, Glenn. $50, my brother. No prayer requests? All right. $50. Thank you so much for that, my brother. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for Glenn tonight. Glenn's been a friend of ours off and on for years. And always gives me good information about Trump. I love that. I love Trump. You know, I love that, and I've been very connected to him in a very, very beautiful way. And so grateful to God for all of that. Hang on a second. Okay. I know. Thank you. It says, I'm listening. I know you are, brother. Hang on a second here. I'm shifting a little bit. Hang on a second. Amen. Thank God. All right. And a lot of things going during the show. So sometimes if I'm shifting gears just for a second, just for a second. Hallelujah, my brother Glenn. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you've spoken a lot of powerful things, even over me, and you've had a real heart for God to bring in the new thing. You've been called of God to bring in the new thing, and you've thought the new thing was this, thought the new thing was that, just like everybody else said, the new thing was this, the new thing's that. And, you know, everybody says, that's the new thing, that's the new thing. And so, you know, I've been saying for a long time that, you know, what God is having us do is the new thing, and that the old things are passing away, and that sometimes we became critical of the old, just like Jesus became very critical, Glenn, of the old. And you have that critical thing about you. It's very strong in you. It's very powerful in you. It's not, and that is not a bad thing. That is a God thing, because you're sick and tired of certain things. The men that came, gathered around David, because David was a new thing. He was not supposed to receive the kingdom of Israel and Judah. He was supposed to, Jonathan was supposed to, but things got changed around, and David became the new guy on the block. And so, man, they tried to kill him. You know, they tried to take him out, but he was a new thing. And so, you know, so and the men that gathered around him were discontented, broke, busted, and disgusted with the old stuff. And so that's kind of your spirit, man. And I want you to know that's okay. God is saying that's in line with what Jesus felt, calling them snakes and vipers, and what David even said about Saul, even though he told people, his own people, to honor the anointed one who was Saul, the God anointed, but then it turned around and said he was wicked, you know, and that God was going to judge, you know, between him and God, and between him and Saul, and God was going to judge Saul, and Saul was doing a wicked thing, and blah, 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 and then turned around just like Jesus did, talked bad about Saul, you know, but he said, I'm not going to touch you, because God's going to take care of you. And so this whole thing God's building in you is to do what you know to do, and you're a fighter, and you do what you want to do, it's right, but fighting with the right spirit, fighting with the right information is everything. And once you get the right information, boy, you're like a dadgum bulldog, man. You're like a dadgum bulldog. Watch out, here comes Glenn. And he fights, he grabs a hold of something, and he hangs on, he's faithful, he's loyal. And God loves that about you, brother. That's why he loved with David. David was faithful and loyal. That's why he had a heart for God. Jesus, of course, was a faithful and loyal. John the Baptist was faithful and loyal to God. He couldn't even go to the old temple. As beautiful as it was, as rich and wealthy as it was, he couldn't even go there. He went out in the wilderness, wore just the opposite of all the clothing they wore. Camel's hair. And ate food that they didn't, you know, come on. It was a whole different thing. Why? Because he was resentful and bitter in a good sense toward the old stuff. Because God says, I'm tired of that. I'm moving on. Even God was full of it. I've had my fill of that. And that's what John the Baptist was feeling. That's what you're feeling. That's what David was feeling. That's what Jesus was feeling. All this stuff that God had enough of this bunch of bull and nonsense, and he's going to move on with it. And you're part of that, man. You're part of that. You're going to be part of that in a lot of ways. And So get ready. And I thank you, Lord, for changing the way that Glenn thinks in certain ways, like you did David. David had to change the way he thought. When they moved into Canaan land, they had to change the way they thought. The food was different. The way they got the food was different. Everything, the way they did things, was completely different. And I thank you, Lord, for helping my brother, the anointing that's in his life, to come in agreement with the new way of thinking. When they moved from the wilderness to the promised land, their food came not from the sky anymore. It came from the ground. He said, now, no more manna. Now you're going to eat from the corn of the land. Whole different way of thinking. Now they're on their own property. They're going to own it. It's property they're owning. They're not renting. They're owning. It all became about ownership. And I thank you, Lord, that Glenn is going to take ownership. You're going to bring him into a place of taking ownership. Ownership of what belongs to him from God without any compromise. And Jesus' name, to bless him. He's not a survivor. He's a conqueror in Jesus' name. He has the will to conquer. He's not afraid to conquer. He just needs to know what he's supposed to conquer. Oh, we're going to conquer. What are we supposed to conquer? God, just tell me, and I go after it. I'll lay my life down for it. Just tell me what to do. What's the real thing? So I thank you, Lord, because that spirit of Glenn, God, you're going to do that and open him up for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Shannon, $25. Thank you, Shannon. Please pray, God, to strengthen my health and vitality and bless me with the things that money cannot buy. Amen. Yeah, I can agree with that, bro. For sure. So Lord, I just thank you for that very prayer in Jesus' name that he's praying. In the name of Jesus, I come into agreement with that, God, that is the will of God, that he will get things that money cannot buy. Jesus said, come buy of me, not with money. Come buy of me without money. Come buy of me gold tried in the fire, Lord. And I thank you that the trials he's been going through, the fire he's been going through, God, that you are purifying him. You are making him, you are purifying him. You're cleansing him from anything that the enemy has in him that cannot be in him any longer, because the enemy can't attach himself to you anymore, my brother. He can't connect you anymore. In Jesus' name, he can't connect with you in any way in the name of Jesus, because he can't find anything to connect to. God is cleansing, washing, blessing you, and disengaging all the connections that have connected to you in the name of Jesus, and I break them off of you now in the name of Jesus. You are a resister. The Bible says resist evil, resist sin, resist it. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I think, Lord, that as he resists the devil like he never has before, that the devil is going to flee from him right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. His resistance is not carnal. It's not fleshly. It's not just a bunch of bull. It is the Holy Ghost in him rising up to resist the things of Satan, the things of the flesh. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let it be done, God, in Jesus' name. Let it be done in the name of the Lord. Amen. You're welcome, my brother. All right, y'all, I think that's it for tonight. If anybody else has given, I don't know it. Let's go here. Checking things out. Give me just a moment. If anybody else is given tonight, I don't know it. Okay, Marja. Marja gave $30. Marja, I almost forgot. Thank you, God. Thank you, Marja. Did I pray with Marja? I think I did. Tanisha. Oh, Tanisha, sorry. Thank you. I think I'm getting lost here. Okay. Did you give like in the last little bit or something, and maybe it's not coming through? Marja gave 30. I know I did forget that one. Thank you for letting me know, Tanisha. That's you guys. Marja, $30. Thank you, Marja, for that. Tanisha said she gave. Let me see if I can find that. I'm sure it's on PayPal. Give me a minute here. Oh, boy. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. This Marge is 30. Regina's 20. Thank you, Regina, for that. We love you. Thank you. I don't know. Tanisha, did you give on PayPal or did you give earlier? Maybe did you give it like earlier in the week or something? Sometimes I do miss things, so please forgive me. You did, Tanisha. Oh, my God, there it is, right. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Lord. I put this. All right, thank you so much. Yes, Tanisha, there it is. Thank you. Sorry, I did not see that. Anybody else give that I don't know about? If you're listening tonight, please let me know. Please do not feel, you know, I need to be able to, I do miss stuff sometimes. I have a lot of new stuff I've connected to. So, yeah, I did find it. It came in before Hendrika gave, and which that's been a while back. I don't know why hers came through and yours didn't, as far as, because it usually dings my phone, and then I see it, and then I click it, I put it in there, and it never dinged my phone. It's really weird. Tanisha. $10. Thank you, Tanisha. And then also, Marja? Thank you, Marja. Marja, $30. Yes, Tanisha, I got it. Thank you. So sorry. I did miss that. And Marge's, almost Marge's too. Oh, wow. Thank God. All right. Thank you, Tanisha. Yes, thank you. That's very kind of you to let me know about that. Some people don't let me know the next day because they're not listening until the next day. So then I find out the next day and go, oh, my gosh, I'm messing up. I messed up. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Tanisha, $10. We just bless her tonight. Thank you, Lord, I just heard the word, he gave them a new heart, gave them a new spirit, like a new thing going on. Let me see here. Let me see if I can find a scripture for you. God gave them a new heart. Spirit. I'm not sure what that's saying. It's an Old Testament thing. Oh, it's Ezekiel. Oh, very interesting. And Jeremiah. Hebrews 8, and I will give them. Okay, so I guess this is like several scriptures. All right, let me read these to you, Tanisha. We'll see where this goes. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will take of you stony and give you a tender, responsive heart. You know, it's like God's giving you like a new sensitivity to him, like a new sensitivity. That's kind of basically, I know you don't have a stubborn heart. You're persistent. I remember the first time I ministered over you was like Tanisha, tenacious Tanisha. That's what it was. So the stubborn thing, I could see that in the tenacious Tanisha. I was even talking with somebody today, a friend of mine who. A brother, a friend of mine. He's not a PGN listener, but I've known him for years. Him and I've been friends for a long time. He's invited me to East Texas and set up many, many meetings for me and all that. And so I was talking to him today, and I said, you know, you're the most stubborn donkey I've ever met. And we were laughing, you know. And he is. He's like a dadgum donkey, man. Once that guy makes up his mind, it's like he can't. And so he went through COVID, Tanisha. He just went through COVID. And I'm talking, he was on the deathbed, and they were saying he's not going to live. You know, this is my friend. Been a friend for a long time. And he's dying, right? I didn't know it. He didn't tell me. He's up there dying at the hospital in this city. And I'm going like, oh, my gosh. You know, what? What is going on? And so I said, man, the devil can kill you. You're too much of you're a stubborn donkey. I said, the stubborn donkey that you are. Stubborn donkey that you are. No, but the devil can never kill you. You're too big and stubborn. And we laugh, you know, about it. And it's true about him. He is. He's one of the most stubborn people I've ever met in my life. And when he makes up his mind that something, God's telling him something, you can't move him. You can't change him. But when, but he just went through a time where, now listen to this in this word. I never thought about this right now. But he how can I explain this? He's been serving God on the level he's been serving God, dedicated, you know, gone through a lot of trouble with his family. The enemy tried to strike his daughter down, take his daughter out to Nisha. And, I mean, I remember going and having meetings with them and his daughter, and the whole thing was, like, horrific, and the attacks of the devil. I mean, it was, like, manifestations. It was unbelievable. Just, you know, just, wow, really, really crazy stuff. And so, you know, I've known him for a long time. And so he's been dedicated to God for a long time. I mean, he set up ministry for me for years. Helped me, blessed me. I mean, my gosh, you know. And so he just went through this COVID thing like less than a year ago, 2021. I can't have the date in front of me, but 2021. And he's still recovering from it. And they had him dying, dead. All the doctors said he's going to be dead. Just like the rest of them. They had people dying like crazy. And they had him up on the sixth floor dying, right? So he goes through this thing, and, man, he came out of that, to make a long story short, wrote a book. He wrote a book, girl. And I read that he sent the book to me. They were sending it to the publisher. The publisher was going to make some corrections today. He said, Randy, if you see anything that needs to be corrected, let me know. And I'm reading this book, and I'm weeping, reading it, you know, to Julie going, you know, can you believe this stuff? He's got a brand new spirit about him. He's got a brand new heart. This stubborn jackass donkey of a guy who loved God with all of his heart. And, you know, and now God has given him, I mean, he just went through a transformation of resurrection. I mean, literally, he was dead. He was the one out of a thousand that lived through that stuff. He was actually dying in the hospital, Tanisha. And he got this whole, I mean, he, this is all, I'm reading this book today, weeping. I mean, like, I can send it to you. He's like, brother, you can see exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, he's like going, my God, gave him a new spirit. He's more sensitive to God than I've ever seen. I mean, it's scary how sensitive he is to God right now. I'm like going, man, I've never seen you like this before. Dude, this is wiping me out. And so as I got this for you tonight, I'm thinking, well, I know she's not stubborn in the wrong kind of way. We all can do that a little bit, but you have that same thing as him, right? Can be like, you know, and so when God, you know, took his level of Christianity that it was at, very dedicated to God, and a preacher and a prophesier, and like I said, set up many, many meetings for me and helped me out and worked hard for the kingdom. I mean, the guy's a hardworking son of a gun. I mean, wow. Yeah. And when that happened to him, whoa, it was amazing, the suffering he went through, the crying out to God. And I read his book today, crying out day and night. I mean, literally day and night. Not if he said, if I go to sleep, I might not wake up. So I'm not going to go to sleep. I'm going to cry out to God. He cried out to God. They put him up in a room by himself, waiting. They're all waiting for all of them to die. They put him in rooms waiting for them all to die, and they all died except for him. The nurses were shocked that he was still alive when they came in the next day, because they knew when you get up to the sixth floor, you're out. You'd be dead in a couple hours. I mean, this is crazy stuff. And he cried out to God. He said, I'm not going to let him put me on that ventilator. They're not going to put me on that ventilator. I'm not going to let him. I'm going to get him on the show and let him talk to himself. They're not going to put me on a ventilator. All the people ventilator are going to die. I ain't going to die. I am not going to die. That stubborn jackass donkey thing in him said, I'm not going to die. Get kicked in right in the right place. It was so It was so funny, and yet I'm weeping over this thing, going, dude. And I even told him, I said, you are the most stubborn donkey I know, and God sure used it on that one. And he just laughed, and he said, yeah, I am. I'm a donkey, man. And I said, well, my ear, I even kidded him. I said, my ears, I sent him back a text when he confessed to being a donkey. I said, yeah, but my ears are bigger than yours, and they're much better looking ears than what you got. You know, donkeys have these big ears. And I said, my big donkey ears are better looking than yours. And, you know, I always kid with him. He's my friend. And, I mean, girl, God gave him a new spirit, gave him a new heart. I mean, you know, compared to what he had, compared to what he has right now, I could say that his heart was like stone. I mean, because he was, you know, in a sense, because he was just comparison to where he at right now. Oh, my God. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So that's what I got out of that. Anyway, long story short, there you go. All right, Marge at $30. Thank you, Marge. Kind of getting on the tail end of this thing, right, Marge? Yeah, and I thank you, Jesus, for the freedom, God, you're bringing to her, the freedom and liberty you're giving to her, God, where she can communicate and say things. I see you speaking from your heart, Marge, like never before, speaking from your heart. Like, you know, like we try to make sure we don't say too much, but when you speak from your heart, you speak out of love, and when you can say the same thing you normally would say, and people might get upset or offended, but now they see you saying it out of your heart, they're going like, man, that was the purest thing I've ever heard come out of her from saying she didn't like what I was doing. It came out so beautiful, you know, I don't even like what I'm doing now. Now that she said it like that, it's just like, you know, because it's coming out of love, out of your heart, Marge. I don't know what's going on, but God did something in your heart, girl. My God, this is amazing. So you talking out of your heart, things you wouldn't normally have said, because you said, if I say that, it's going to really make people mad. Now you're going to say it, but you're going to say it from your heart. And it's going to be out of love, and people are going to see the purity of that and the innocence of it and the glory of it. And go, my God, who is this girl? What happened to you? And God say, you know, hey, yeah. And she's the same. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. I know that's the thing with me. I, you know, sometimes I don't say things. I used to not say things. Like when on PGN a few months ago, I came out and said, you know, I'm going to start speaking more plainly now. Because sometimes I don't speak plainly, because if I speak plainly, pretty rough on some people and some things, like Jesus, you know, body sepulcher full of dead men's bones, people that are, and I'm thinking the people that are loyal to these people that I'm talking about, they're going to like get mad at me, not be my friend anymore. So I'm careful about what I say, right? Now it's like, God says, I'm setting your heart free to talk plain and clear, but it's going to come out different. I'm going like, okay, it's going to have to be God, because you know, I hate that stuff, man. It's robbing people of merchandising the gospel and everything else going on. You know, I despise that. And I got to be careful how I talk about that, because they'll hear the despising in my voice. And the Lord says, I want them to hear the despising in your voice, because I despise it too. I'm like, what? Yeah. Anyway, Marge, here you go. What was that? I don't know. Thank you, Tanisha. God bless you. Sorry, I almost messed it up. I need lots of help. Thank y'all for helping me. Several people have told me, you know, you forgot me, and I did. Thank you for helping me not miss you during the show, because it's a lot harder. It's hard to go back and, you know, when you ended the show, it's hard to go back and do it. So please forgive me for that. Thank you for being generous and kind and letting me know. I really appreciate it. All right. A lot of things going on. Lots. I know I always say that. And wish I could talk more. I'm trying to talk more. I'm telling you about some things about the property that we've been talking about, the black mold that showed up and the problems that it caused and the issues that it caused. We're just working through, you know, we're believing God to do what he wants to do with that, how he's going to handle that. And I'm going to talk about that soon, I think, because the whole procedure of how we're going to get the property is changing, and I'm going to talk about that hopefully Monday. I don't know. We'll see how we're going to have to get the get that property. If we're going to get it, we have to get it a certain way. And it wasn't the way that I was doing it before. It shifted when the Black Moan thing happened. And I'll explain that to everybody later. So thank you for being patient with me. And, you know, God is good. I don't always know exactly how everything's going to turn out as far as the process of how long it's going to take. Sometimes things take a long time. People get tired of waiting and they move on. Well, I guess that's not going to happen, you know. I feel the same way, so don't feel bad. I feel the same way. It's like, and he doesn't let me explain everything either, which is difficult. So I love you guys. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you for being patient with us and kind and generous as you always are. Thank you for that. I'm going to speak plainly as God gives it to me, so please understand why I'm speaking so plainly. And, yeah, so, all right. All right, y'all. Yes, Marge, I just prayed over you. Sorry you missed that. What a powerful word that was, to me at least. So I can send it to you. If you'll remind me after the show, I can send it to you. I think I can get that link. You can't really connect to the link till tomorrow, but I can send the link to you, Margie, if you're still listening. Once the show goes off, I think it takes a few minutes. If you can remind me, if you don't mind reminding me, I can send you the link. Then you can listen to that tonight if you want. Up to you. Thank you, Margaret. Yes, sometimes it gets busy in here. Thanks, people, for being patient with me. I appreciate it. It does. There's a lot that goes on, a whole lot that goes on, and sometimes more than others. But okay. All right. I think that's it. I think that's everybody who gave tonight. Had a little confusion there at the end about some things, but we got it. I think we got. I almost missed Tanisha. I almost missed Marja. We got you guys. Thank you, Lord, for that. All good. Everything's good. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. I think I've checked everything. And that's about it. We'll call it a night. Thank you, guys, for everything you've done. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your giving. I don't think I missed anybody. I double checked everything. Unless you gave something through the mail and it just hadn't come in yet, I think I took care of everything. A lot of fun. Enjoy it. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for your love for the prophetic and for PGN and what's going on with the network and our studio and all that. Don't give up on it. Don't give up on PGN. Don't give up on God. All right. Love you guys. Talk to you Monday. Bye-bye.